Testing 1, 2. Hey, what's poppin'? It's Super Bowl weekend in the DealsInTheD.com studios.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. And we've got a big show today. It's almost like a Super Bowl show because Nikki Glaser should be checking in.
Right on.
I know. How psyched. Relic Music Theater, February the 8th. Do you know if there's any tickets available for that?
A few.
Just a few.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I would really think they'd be sold out because she's hot.
She is hot.
On fire. And we got a little change in lineup. Jim Bentley has played hooky from Zot Ford.
Thank God on a late night, too.
Kobe!
And Mark's here. Trudy and Joe. Brandon is on his, what trip is it, skiing?
Boing. He's going up to Boing.
Does that mean the Bitches song will be playing a lot?
Oh, yeah.
I think so.
24.
He instructed Jim and I to not talk about something.
Oh, I thought you were going to beat me to it.
And I said,
I'm fascinated.
I said, Brandon, the only question is who's going to say it, Jim or myself, because we're both those people. I'm not saying it.
Uh-oh. Can you write it down?
Are we on Facebook Live? I don't want anyone to say it. No, I don't want the wrath of Brandon.
Well, I'll be talking while you write it down. Valentine's Day is coming up. Get your sweetheart in the mood with a gift from Lover's Lane. Now, the three ways to shop for all your bedroom essentials, loverslane.com. 35 retail locations, and the all-new sexdrive.com for some serious hot stuff. Featuring quality sex toys, vibrators, fun and exciting toys for couples. Sex Drive also has an incredible selection of erotic apparel and naughty gift ideas perfect for Valentine's. Shop early, visit sexdrive.com, powered by Lover's Lane.
And,
that's what he said.
Okay.
Which I think is a positive thing, really.
Oh.
Kobe!
I see.
I don't know if Trudy should see that.
There's more to the conversation than that, but
how did you write it, Mark? Can I see it? I wrote something.
Do not show it to the camera. I do not trust you.
Why did he specify?
Because it goes. The conversation went a lot worse than that.
Oh my!
Yeah, you added more than I did.
I can't wait to get. Oh, okay, so you guys, it was a kind of racy conversation, and it got a lot worse.
Yes. And I'm sure he's sweating right now.
Okay, Hall Financial Hotline. If you are paying more than 4% for your mortgage, or you have one of those high interest rate credit cards, and you have a lot of debt, and maybe you want to try and, is there some better way to do this? Well, why don't you go to drewandmike.hallfg.com or call 248-308-5000 and see if you can bundle it all into a refi. Or maybe you want to take money out of your home, or maybe you have a myriad of other questions. Hall Financial would love to hear from you. It doesn't mean it'll work, and they'll tell you if it doesn't. But if it does, they'll do it fast, averaging 19 days, and they got the 1,000 five-star reviews. So, Hall Financial, you will be very happy if you go to Hall Financial, and where's the NMLS number? Oh, boy. With me.
Facebook told me to feed Layla.
There it is. Equal housing lender, NMLS number 1467435 for Hall Financial. Any numbers today besides Stan?
Yeah, there's a girl. Oh, I'm sorry. There's a woman who was a former firefighter, and she got fired because of her sexy Instagram posts.
She's a firefighter?
She's a firefighter. Firefighters are sexy. They're supposed to be sexy.
Wow.
That's my argument.
Maybe male firefighters.
Oh,
she's really cute.
She's very cute.
Let me see.
That's not. Wait, so that's a thong? You really just her ass.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they don't want that. I think she lives in a.
That is one piece of ace.
She looks very physically fit.
She lives in a very conservative area, so.
Did they ask her to stop doing it first?
I don't know. I just saw that she was fine. I know as much as I told you.
Okay. Well, that's a good number to have. And of course, we have K-Fed and Stan. And so on and so forth. Well, K-Fed, I think we were disconnected yesterday. And is anybody freaking out about the coronavirus yet?
Oh, yeah. It's awful. We're all going to die.
Uh-oh.
I heard this morning on CBS that it's at 8,000 people. 176 Wait. Are dead.
Oh, okay.
And it's
the flu virus kills 8,000 people a year.
It's about to pass SARS. which also, it should be pointed out, is the nickname for actor Peter Sarsgaard. SARS!
Because he kills every role.
Why does he have two A's in his last name, by the way? It's Gard.
He's Swedish.
Sarsgaard, like Nicholas Sandman.
Yeah.
Are you freaked out by it?
Not really. I know Mike Clark would be freaking out.
I love.
He's got AIDS.
I love the thing people are doing there, which is putting their head in a plastic bottle. If they don't have a mask, they just cut a bottle in half.
The mask doesn't help. I've seen that on the news three times already today. Don't put the mask on because health care people need them and you don't.
Yeah, idiots. And there's another story, someone that lives in Wuhan and said that people are spitting on doctors that have the flu. And spitting and rubbing, like, elevator buttons to spread it.
What?
Because they're mad they're stuck there.
China!
You know, who knows if that's true? It's China.
People are just these people trash wherever you go, right?
I know, the world sucks. Everybody sucks. Fucking things
suck. That's how the plague started back in the day. It's from a little disgusting bird bath in someone's backyard that rats made sex to birds in it and created a whole new type of AIDS.
That's pretty accurate.
I need to hear Bill O'Reilly say the fucking thing sucks. Yes, people suck. And everything sucks. Thank God the Super Bowl is this weekend. We can enjoy.
Do you think that's Kobe? Is that going to suck or is it going to be good?
That was the other Kobe.
Yeah, it was.
Kobe.
It's a girl from The Bachelor. That is so cute.
It doesn't really have the punch that Chappelle does.
No, Kobe.
When Chappelle says
fucking thing sucks.
I really didn't notice it that much because it plays so much, but then I was listening this morning, and every time it played, I kind of chuckled.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say about the coronavirus is they rounded up all those Americans, well, as many as they could, and what do they have one flight every 3 days to America?
Yeah, they just sent the plane back to pick up more.
How confident are
you?
You
have an extra plane?
No, because they better burn that plane when they're done with all these trips.
Yeah. How confident are you that they're going to be able to clean that out enough that it won't
spread across
the entire country?
That plane is going to be sold by the government to Spirit Airlines.
they should have a little pay-per-view party to blow up the plane in midair.
I would go.
In midair.
Yeah.
With the people on it?
Well, no, not yet. Yeah. People evacuated, and they're flown in protective clothing, and they land in Southern California, at which they're greeted by people in hazmat suits, which is really comforting.
Oh, God. Mark told me yesterday that they landed in Alaska, and I felt like that was far enough away. But now they're in California.
Why not Hawaii?
Yeah. Or
Guantanamo is so obvious, isn't it?
We got the prison facilities.
We're full of diseases. We got cancer. We got whooping cough. We got diabetes. We got it all. Rosacea.
Why do people say diabetes?
Diabetes.
What is that?
Diabetes.
I mean, it's not supposed to be said that way, isn't it? Diabetes.
Diabetes, yeah.
Okay. Because Brimley said it that way.
The evacuated Americans who flew in, they're voluntarily at this place for 14 days, which says to me, voluntarily, I mean, you got a bunch of people, a couple hundred people at this place. Not all of those people are going to stay there. You know, you can leave if it's voluntary. In other words, they're not quarantined. They're there voluntarily. And they're saying, you know, we want to be here and you know, we're glad we don't have it or that we're going to get the care. But, you know, some fuckwad is going to just get up and leave. Ah, this sucks.
Yeah. Patient zero is.
I don't feel good.
So
the Gwyneth Paltrow of this drama.
By the way, the viewings of, is that Contagion? That's Contagion, right? That movie?
I think so.
It's just shot up the charts on the iTunes rentals. It's up to number 15 now.
I like all those movies.
Real life.
I don't know why.
Started watching it, yeah.
Did you ever, anybody ever watch the series on Netflix where if you got hit by raindrops, you would die?
Oh, that was an M. Night Shyamalan, Donna, wasn't it? You got hit by the rain and it killed you?
Yeah, same.
I remember.
And they had these little underground places like Lost.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was stupid. I got so bored, Trudy.
I did the first episode. You told me to watch it.
I watched like three or four episodes. By the fourth episode, I'm going, I hated this in the second episode. What am I?
I know, why? And it was translated.
Is it Nikki G?
Tis.
Oh, is she calling?
Put the phone. Oh, I was
going
to
ask. Oh, boy.
Oh, man. Mark, why aren't you in the driver's seat? Why is Bentley under all this pressure?
Because he needs to learn it. And I can do a lot of stuff over here if he just stops playing that audio so I can play this song for Nikki.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably her people calling because Nikki is too huge to call herself, right?
Oh.
Nikki's got a song.
Yeah. Hey, Jim, can you kill your pot?
I wonder if she knows she has a song.
You tell funny jokes to the people.
I'll mention our friends and studio sponsors at Zotford in Hollywood. Jim Bentley moved some wheels yesterday from one of our fine Drew and Mike podcast listeners. And as we always say, the best way to support the podcast is support Jim Bentley and Zot Ford. So if you or anyone you know is in the market for a new Ford or a superb pre-loved vehicle, give Jim Bentley a holler. And right now in the Winter Wonderland clearance event, they have all trucks and SUVs you could ever want. Ford example, leased the number one selling truck in America. America! Huh. The new 2020 Ford F-150 Supercrew XLT 4x4, under $100 a month.
Yeah.
Or at least Detroit's favorite SUV, the all-new 2020 Ford Explorer XLT 4x4s, as low as $112 a month. And then finally, during the Winter Wonderland event, you can lease Michigan's sportiest SUV, the new 2020, all new, all-wheel drive Ford Edge SEL, as low as $168 a month. Call Bentley, 248-215-5151. He will not answer right now. Actually, you could be listening tomorrow.
Please don't call now.
You could be listening tomorrow. Anthony will answer if he doesn't. Pick up time to grab your sweet new wheels from Zot Ford. Mm-hmm. And is Nikki, we holding for Nikki?
Yeah, still waiting on her.
Okay.
Oh, somebody suggested Darling Nikki? Is that a Prince tune?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think she'll like the other song better. Uh-oh. Don't you think so?
You mean this one?
Matt's. Yeah. Matt Farley's.
Matt. If you like, funny comedian.
If you're psyched for football and you want to make some crazy prop bets on the Super Bowl, go to mybookie.ag, use promo code Drew, and you put in a couple thousand, you get a thousand extra to bet on. There are rules. You must follow them. You must read them. But it's your chance to take advantage. So sign up now, enter promo code Drew when you make your deposit. Promo code Drew to give your bankroll a jumpstart at mybookie.ag. And if football isn't your jam, don't sweat it. They got you covered with lines on every other major sport, including NBA, NHL, NCAA. In fact, place a wager of $20 or more in the Super Bowl, and you're in a free entry into the March Madness Bracket Contest. Whoa. MyBookie.ag, promo code Drew.
Yeah. Nikki Glaser.
Nikki Glaser.
Comedian.
She is at the Royal Oak Music Theater, February the 8th.
Nikki Glaser.
And she might be on the phone.
Nikki.
I am. I'm just in awe of this song.
Isn't it great?
Great.
It's about you.
I can't handle it. I will, but please send that to me afterwards.
Okay.
Need it.
Mark, crank it
just
for her.
Playing it all the time.
Because you're a funny girl.
Oh, wow.
You're
how
a funny comedian woman.
Funny comedian
does
woman.
Does he say I'm hot at any point?
I think, well, let's listen.
I think you have to, right?
How'd you get to be so funny?
Not there.
Nikki Glaser.
Wow, there's many layers to this.
It's kind of a ballad, but it's intense.
Okay.
It's a serious song.
Yeah, it is. And everybody on Facebook says you're hot.
It doesn't seem to be really going anywhere. No. There's no bridge or chorus, but it's something.
Well, it's written by the world's most prolific songwriter who's written 2,200 songs. So sometimes I think he phones them in. I don't want to accuse him of that.
We
know him, though.
Oh, my God. I'm so flattered.
Oh, you'll dig it when you hear the whole thing, I promise. Or if not, we'll have him do another one. But Nikki, I was watching your roast highlights on the internet, which I've seen before,
yeah.
but having them strung all together, oh, my God, you are such a roaster. Somebody must get pissed.
Yeah. No one gets mad.
No?
Everyone knows the rules. Yeah, it's true. It's like I want to give you a good story of, like, now this person hates me and I can't be, we have to, you know, be ushered in at different parts of the red carpet now. But there's no, you know, there's no beef that follows these things because everyone knows what they're in for because they're so precedented at this point that people do their research and PR teams are going to protect anyone. Everyone knows what they're getting into.
So when you,
at least that's how I approach it.
When you say Rob Lowe puts the statue in statutory rape, there, you already know that he's okay with that?
No, I don't know he's okay with it, but the fact that he's there and we aren't told by, you know, there's been no rules given to us. Because,
uh-huh.
You know, if there's something that's totally off limits, Comedy Central will kind of go, hey, can you not steer in this direction? And I don't really want to make anyone, I don't want to, like, deeply offend anyone or do something like, going to actually hurt them or make them walk off stage. So, like, since they didn't tell us to lean away from the statutory rape thing, or not even the statutory rape, but whatever it was, his sex tape with, like, a young girl. Like, that was just a hyperbole based on that. You know, Caitlyn Jenner requested that we didn't do jokes about her car crash. So I had jokes about that, but I didn't know she didn't want them until the day before.
Well, you can use them here.
They were the best jokes of my set.
Yeah, you want to unfurl them?
You can find them. I don't want to do them because since I would do them for you, but you caught me at a bad time because 2 weeks ago I filmed a show with Caitlyn Jenner. I was on set for like 12 hours with her. And we became really, to me, great friends. And so now it would be hard for me to do a joke, even when she's not here, that she wouldn't want me to do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. But I have told people them, but she's truly my friend now. So it's pretty cool. If anyone, I thought she was going to hate me because after I finished the roast with her, I went on my radio show and a couple others and told the jokes that they wouldn't allow. So you can find them if you really want to.
Okay.
And I thought that she might have heard those. And I was like, and then I got booked on this show with her, and I'm like, oh, my God. Like, you guys, I told the producers, I was like, she might walk off set. Like, I've been not nice to her on different shows since the roast. And they're like, are you serious? But then she showed up on set, and I think she barely even remembered me from that night. Like, she just, like, she lives such a busy life that I was just, like, a blip. She's, like, she's not paying attention to podcasts and what's being said about her. If she did, she would, you know, if that would be horrible.
Your Netflix special, I'm sure, is doing great. And I was watching it yesterday because we thought you were going to be on yesterday and we're preparing wildly. And we didn't even trash you when it got moved. So, because we're still so excited about having you on. But anyway, you spent the beginning.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. They usually trash people when they move shit.
Well, if they ditch us
very
completely.
Petty.
If you weren't, and I mean, you're smoking hot right now. So, I mean, no, we'd be delighted to have you any day, Nikki. But anyway, the first five minutes of your Netflix.
I appreciate it. I don't even know why it was rebooked. But yeah, so I'm glad. Isn't it nice when you prepare because you think something's happening and it's canceled? And you're like, wow, I'm prepared the day before for the first time in my life.
That was kind of why it hurt. And actually, I was preparing, and I think Brandon walked up and said, oh, I heard you listening to Nikki Glaser up here, and she's not going to be on today. And I was like, what? I was bummed. But
and then you go back to Pornhub.
But we did spend time. And I asked Trudy to verify your theory that women always feel they have to look bangable. Because I like, that's intoxicating to hear as a man that you're all trying to look bangable for us all the time. Well, maybe not
yeah,
us.
Yeah, it is for you.
That's great.
It is absolutely for you.
Thank you. And you look so bangable.
It's a waste of our time. And you guys don't even care, to be honest.
No,
all
we do.
That we're spending time on. No, you don't. I'm sorry. You're not going to find a husband because you have, like, a manicure, ladies. Like, we're getting our nails done, thinking that men give... As long as your nail isn't, like, your hangnails aren't bleeding, or, you know, you don't look like you black swan yourself, men don't care. Just have no nail polish, and they don't care. I mean, once in a while, it's nice to get your hands done, but doing this every week, it's just, like, if we just spend hours of our lives trying to look good for men, and they don't even care. And it's like, it's just a waste. We wonder why we make less money. It's like when men have time to rest and like exercise and sleep, we are like putting pencils in our eyelids so that someone will love us eventually.
It's true.
I appreciate all your
hard
work.
You hear the lady laughing? Yeah. Uh-huh. She gets it.
Yeah, well, Trudy agreed, and I looked at her a little differently after I heard that because I didn't realize you were trying to look so bangable, Trudy.
Yeah. you guys on video?
You know, I was going to ask you to Skype in, but it was like after yesterday and that debacle, I thought we should just go ahead and be safe because we don't use Skype that much.
Yeah, but people are Facebook. Watching this,
yes.
So Trudy's got to give a little bit more thought to her look before she comes into the office than you two do.
You're
absolutely.
Sure. It's like you know me.
She does.
It shows.
She does.
Yeah. Trudy, you got into radio so you wouldn't have to do this crap, and now like every day I have to look TV ready my fucking radio face. I mean, I don't know what you look like, Trudy, but that's how I feel every day going into radio.
Exactly.
Trudy, Trudy's one of the lucky ones because when I first started radio, there were a lot of radio faces, especially on the women, and be like, oh, she sounds so hot. And be like, oh, I don't know how to tell you this, but Trudy's got a TV face, and she, people are quite.
Oh, I'm sure she does, because you need one now in radio. Mm.
You do!
Yeah, it's the worst.
You do, because there's cameras in studios. It's an image thing now, you know, but it's a lot more work goes into being a woman in entertainment, and I'm not mad at men about it. I just want us all to understand it. And I want women to kind of come together and be like, can we opt out of some of this stuff? Because it's like wasting our time and holding us back.
Yes. when you do your radio
show.
But I
don't know where to begin.
When you do your radio show, are you on video the whole time?
No, there are some days we don't have a radio crew in. Yesterday, I didn't think there was going to be anyone there. And then I got to the studio and there was this whole film crew. And I literally almost started crying because I had no makeup with my bag. My hair was disgusting. I was in a disgusting shirt. And I'm trying to get a husband right now. So I don't need any footage out there where I'm looking like I'm 2 years into a marriage. You know what I'm saying? So it was embarrassing. I like melted down in front of my guests because I was like, I didn't know there were going to be cameras. And everyone's scrambling to go find me makeup. It was ridiculous.
Only 2 years, Nikki?
So
that long?
I mean, I just, you know what? I think I'm going to start trying when I get a husband because I realized like trying for the past 3 years to get a boyfriend and looking hot all the time didn't really work. So now I'm just not doing anything. And whoever will love me for this is going to really love it when I kick into high gear because I don't care about having a good body and having sex. And I am not having sex right now. So like, I don't care. Like I like to look good naked and that's why I work out. But if I'm not getting naked with anyone, I masturbate in the dark. I don't need this shit.
That's true.
I quit working out recently. I'll eat more salad, but I'm not working out anymore.
In refraction mode, it really doesn't matter if it was someone else or you. I mean, who cares?
Exactly. Yeah.
I have this image, though. You know, you're very attractive. You talk about sex a lot. You're in Hollywood. I just have this idea that guys in the industry are hitting on you all the time.
Oh, they are, Mark.
All the time. And
it doesn't happen that much. I've had some blue check marks slide into my DMs for sure, but it's never the guys you want. Like, you know, I've had some hot dudes that I'm like, whoa, does he want to like, he wants to hook up and then they want to start a podcast with me.
Oh,
like
yeah.
It's been a lot of that.
Yeah.
Where you think they want to have sex with you and you're excited. And then you're like, oh wait, this guy just wants to be friends because he's not really that funny and he needs someone funny to like work with. So like, people in Hollywood are climbers. They think you're like a hot ticket and they want to jump on.
I never thought of using women that way.
That kind of thing. you should. You can. Should.
I guess so. Yeah.
Nikki, we'd be on our podcast all the time.
That's what they're doing. I never thought that someone would use me for my fame or my like humor, but they do. And I'm like, I always come on to these guys because we're hanging out so much. And I go, you know, what's going to happen between us? Is this happening? And they're like, oh my God, I'm sorry. I respect you so much comedically. That's what they always say. And I'm like, you can also disrespect me sexually. I mean, there's all two separate things.
Maybe they don't want to.
Can we have both?
They don't want to put it in writing. Maybe that's it. And then the second you get there to do the show, they're going to start hitting on you.
Oh, yeah.
Well, no,
respect
like,
you comedically. That's weird.
That's why you should never say no.
No, I'm serious. But these guys are hot, hot guys. Hot guys can get supermodels.
Okay.
Like, hot guys in their, like, they don't need me. I'm a comedy nine. I'm hot for comedy, but I'm not. If I'm put against anyone else on TV, it's like, it's glaringly obvious that I have other talent.
Okay, Nikki, I think you're really pretty. I really do. And you're sexy and you're funny and so many good things going on. And you're at the Royal Oak Music Theater February 8th. I just thought I'd throw that in. How many points do you feel like let's just say you said you're comedy nine. So let's call you, what do you call yourself? If there was no comedy, would you say you're an eight?
I would say a high seven.
A high seven. Okay. I love the movie.
Depends on the city, but I'm going off to New York, LA.
You're an 8.5 here easily, but, I was thinking about movie.
Oh my God, Detroit. Can I just say Detroit?
Yeah.
When I did a corporate gig there last March. Ooh. I was shocked at how many hot guys there were in that town.
Yeah.
I am not joking you. I was like, everywhere I looked, I mean, maybe I was ovulating, so everyone looked hot, but like, I was dying for it last time in Detroit. Everyone was hot. I had a bellhop that I asked like to like like come back up to my room to give me a tour of my room because I was like, are we gonna bang? Like, he was so hot. I was like, it was crazy.
Well, my question was gonna be,
I've never done anything like that in my life, and it was like Detroit just got like, it got me going. So
yeah,
I'm coming back. Can I just plug that I'm coming back next week, Saturday night, two shows at the Royal Oak Music Theater. One I think is sold out, the other still has tickets available. Single tickets are probably available for both shows. I encourage people to go to shows, comedy shows alone. It's better than going with someone who like doesn't really want to go.
I agree.
And then the show is amazing. There's singing, there's dancing, there's comedy, there's everything.
Well, there aren't many tickets left. I will say that because we just checked. But what I wanted to ask you about the your high sevens or whatever. Do you feel, and I'm going back to the movie, She's Out of My League. Have you ever seen that movie?
Yes, love it.
I love that movie too. I laugh at every single scene. But do you think there's a point up, a point down, or does the nine count because you're a comedy nine? I mean, career wise, you're probably a 10 career wise. I mean,
I can get like hot if they got hot pretty late in life. There's a couple caveats where I can get a guy hotter than me, but generally as a woman. You can also get them hotter than you if they're short, if they have herpes.
That's great.
If
they have herpes.
Are in a wheelchair. It's like, it's a lot of different modes. It's just true. And,
okay.
But generally, guys will not date a woman who's less attractive than them. And so, not that I'm less attractive, like, I'm not a cute gal, but, you know, I can't get a 10 guy because 10 guys are only dating women as attractive as them or more attractive. So is every man on the planet. Because if you're a man that ever dates a woman less attractive than you, everyone knows what they say. They go, wow, he's really hot. And she's pretty cool with the fact that he's gay. Like, that's what they say. They just say that you're gay. Because why would you be with a woman less attractive than you if you were gay? So it's just the way it is. And so mm-hmm. The best I can do is find a guy who isn't as attractive as me, which is what I'm looking for. And I think I found one.
Oh,
really?
Anybody, you're not going to tell us, are you? Or are you?
Yeah. I'm not going to tell you who I'm zoning in on a couple fellas right now.
Okay.
Well, I'm looking to get married. I want someone to protect me during the end times, which I think are pretty, right. Close. They're around the corner.
Absolutely.
I want a guy to rescue me during that shit.
Okay, what about, because we're in Detroit, and there's a good chance this person could get word if you say something, or if you say the right thing, or maybe the wrong, who cares if you say the wrong thing. What about Blake Griffin?
Yeah, he's the guy that was running out of ink in the printer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I love. He and I, we had an interaction after the roast, ooh, which was nice and complimentary, and he knows where I live. And I just learned that he's there. I just remembered that he's there from this call. So, I'll make it known I'm there.
Well, wait a second. He knows where he lives. Does that mean because you gave him your address or because he's been to your address?
Not true.
Oh, no. I mean, like, he knows the town I live in. So yeah. He knows if he's ever in town. I was like, we were like, if we're ever in the same city, we'll hang out.
Okay.
I think that was the agreement.
Okay.
So, I could get it if I want it, I think.
Oh, wow. Hey. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He is hot.
Yeah, he's so hot, and he's so funny. It's really annoying how funny he is.
Yeah, he did a great job at that roast.
And that combination
is he's incredible.
The combination of hot and funny, at least for guy comedians, has really changed. It used to be the funny guy comedians were all kind of ugly. You're kind of rooting for the underdog.
No, they all should be. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
No hot guys are funny.
No.
If you are hot and funny, there's no reason to be hot and funny. So if you were, like molested or something. Like something happened to you to make you interesting.
Every time I see
terrible happened in your childhood.
If you see a male comedian, I immediately judge if that guy thinks he's hot. I don't think he's funny. But then you see Jim Norton.
If he thinks he's hot, I like him less than if he
is
really
hot.
Yeah, points off of that.
So I look for ugly male comedians.
You know what? Some guys I want. Sometimes I'm like, I want them to think they're hot because if these hot guys act like they're not hot, it is so unrelatable. Like, everyone's just like, yeah, you're fucking hot. Like, you just want people to be honest. So if a hot guy is like, yeah, fucking, this is my, I have a friend who's like, I used to be a model. This is my life. And it's like, oh, that's better than denying it. You know, but if a guy who's not hot thinks he's hot, then I have a problem.
Yeah.
What about, you know, this is kind of a corollary to that. I find that so many attractive women now are claiming, oh, my God, I was bullied so badly. And I'm like, how are you bullied? You've been beautiful your whole life. Is that just a bullshit thing that hot women say so we feel sorry for them?
I feel like everyone was bullied, even bullies. So it's just like, and it's all on a different level. You know, like some people can be like, well, I was bullied. They like tried to kill themselves, you know, because of how bad it was. And other people are like, I was bullied because I had a big nose and like one person said one thing one time. But I think the thing is, it doesn't matter like how it, like I was like not a really cute child. I wasn't ugly, but I was like, boys didn't like me. So that's why I have a personality. I wasn't ugly and people weren't like, well, a couple people called, I got called ugly pretty much a lot. Now that I think about it, but that's why I'm funny is because I felt ugly, and so I, like, had to be like, what else is going to get people to like me? Because it ain't my look. And so that's why ugly people are usually funny.
Well, I wonder, you know, with female comedians, and I've said this many times, I feel like there's something wrong with me because I generally don't like a lot of female comedians, yet you make me laugh my ass off, but Amy Schumer doesn't. So what are you doing, Nikki? Why are you intoxicating so many of us guys that a lot of other ones? I mean, am I crazy? It's not,
no,
not just me,
I mean,
is it?
Yes,
not
I think many. You are. No, I think she's like one of my favorite comedians of all time and like as one of my best friends. But I
Well, don't
I
tell her.
You're your point. I won't. Of course I won't.
Okay.
But I get that a lot, not just about her, about, you know, she gets that about, we've all gotten that where it's like, no women make me laugh, but you do. So, and it's just like, you're just not paying good enough attention to female comics because they're out there. They don't have as much of a platform. There are some that are bad, just like there are many men that are bad.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just more men doing it. So you see more great men than great women.
That's true.
So the funny women to not funny women is the same as men and women, but the unfunny ones stand out more and the funny ones stand out less when there's smaller numbers of them.
Okay. Best roast, worst roast.
God, I gotta be honest with you. All three of my roasts were like the best. Like I just really killed it in each one. I gotta say the Alice Baldwin one was for me my first because I forgot to do a couple jokes that I thought would have like been the best jokes of my set. They somehow got removed from my prompter due to like me cutting and pasting in my document. And so I missed two jokes. And so I really couldn't enjoy the roast as much as I wanted to, because I was like stressing out about how I forgot these jokes and I just could not have a good time, even though I had a good set. And then I'll say the, my first roast, the roast of Rob, I think it was Rob Lowe. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was, I forget which one, but there was one where literally the crowd was so bad. At one point I go, do you guys even like me? What's going on here? These are good jokes. Get it together. So that just speaks to like the director of those things. At like, I'll leave a show, like those shows sometimes and be like, God, that set was so terrible. And then I see what he does in the edit and it looks like you can make anyone look like they killed. I mean, they're, what's his name? And I do kill. My jokes are like, should kill.
They do,
so sometimes
yeah.
audiences are just weird. Those roasts are not like great audiences.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't speak to like who does well. But Dennis Rodman bombed so fucking
God.
Hard.
Yeah.
The fact that they were able to salvage anything out of his set. I'm not kidding you. It was the most brutal thing I've ever watched.
Why was he invited? I mean, that's so obvious that he would be terrible. I mean, oh, God. Have you ever...
So he could be a punchline. We needed an extra punchline.
Okay.
You know?
Is that what Sybil Shepherd, was she a punchline, too?
No, she was... I mean, obviously, Bruce Willis and her worked together.
Oh, that's right.
And she...
She took some wax.
Yeah, she filled all the old woman jokes. You know? Like, and Dennis Rodman could be... Like, the black guy joke. There are certain jokes on roast that you need to fill, like, this is the punching. I'm often the, I'm 35, so now I'm the old woman joke. But when I started, I was 31, so I was young, and no one said that, but I'm old, so I get old jokes. I get, you know, who are you? No one cares about you, which never means anything to me. And then I also get that I look like men. They'll say that I look like Larry Bird, Owen Wilson, and those ones turn them up.
So Cybill Shepherd was the B. Arthur of the Pam Anderson roast, which Pam Anderson's roast was fantastic, and Greg Giraldo is always one of my favorites.
Good one. Yeah, if we're talking about roasts in general, like my favorite, Charlie Sheen, Schumer's set from Charlie Sheen's roast was my favorite set of any roast. And then Giraldo's from Larry the Cable Guy is another one of my favorite roast sets of all time.
Yeah, he was a good, he used to come in studio with us, and he was one of those guys, it didn't matter what you were talking about, he was so good on his feet. God, I love him, miss him so much.
Yeah, likewise. He's the best, and he seems still so relevant to this day. Yeah. You feel like he could just jump right in and start. I would love to hear him right now.
Yeah. The Rob Lowe roast also had Ann Coulter on there. Did you have any face to face with Ann?
No, I didn't. I think we shook hands backstage, and then after we didn't even like. She left before the show even closed out. I think she like left early, so I didn't really have to talk to her ever.
Nikki, what was your joke about Bruce Willis? You've never watched his movies voluntarily, was it? Something like that?
Yeah, it's always felt like, it's always been against my will. Some guy that I like puts it on, and I feel like uncomfortably watch some movie while I get fingered on his couch and like kind of stare fondantly at the screen. And yeah, it's always a depressing, potentially a date rape scenario kind of situation.
That was a beautiful, that painted such a picture for me. It was such a simple line, but I really loved
poetic,
it.
Poetic, right?
It was brilliant. And I know you'll be great February the 8th. Two shows at the Royal Oak Music Theater. And I'm going to say goodbye to you because I think you're going to say goodbye to us pretty soon. We always want to say goodbye first.
Right.
And I know you're busier than we are. So.
I love that. Yeah.
Never want to say goodbye to last.
Thank
it's
you,
like
Nikki.
When my mom says, I'll let you go.
Hey,
guys.
Please come back.
You guys are awesome. This is so fun.
Thanks, you, Nikki.
Thank you.
See you
thank
Saturday.
You.
Or see the 8th.
Yeah, see you Saturday.
Nikki Glaser.
Yay.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah. You're a funny lady.
Ah, the best.
She's so good.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. I've always liked her, but yesterday I watched just a voluminous amount of Nikki Glaser, and I realized, God, is she... I mean, I thought she was really good, but I think she's really, really good.
Did you watch her on The Degenerates, the Netflix show? It's just got a half hour of a bunch of different comedians, because Norton's on there. Norton's is really good, too.
No, I haven't seen that.
Norton's got a great segment about conspiracy theories. It's really great.
Which roast were you talking about that she was so good on?
What's the last one? Alec Baldwin?
That was fantastic. But did you say Larry the Cable Guy for Giraldo?
Giraldo, yeah.
And did Nikki have a roast you liked best?
I'm trying to think. I guess the Baldwin one, but that's the last one that I saw. So.
I don't think I've seen. She has so many great, just whammo lines in that. But I haven't seen Giraldo in Larry the Cable Guy.
Oh,
I got to see
that.
Yeah. Are you sure?
We'll have to look that up.
You want to pull it up, Jim?
Nice woman. I like her, actually.
I might be so stuck on the Pam Anderson thing because, oh, my God, did he kill it that? Oh, there's an hour
she
special.
She could come back to life and do it again because she needs to be roasted.
We've had a lot of conversation about people crying about Kobe Bryant this week, which, you know, I'm not trying to make fun of people or pass judgment. I'm just saying it's strange to me that people that really don't know him. But Greg Giraldo is the kind of guy, when he did die, I didn't cry, but I mean, if somebody cried about Greg Giraldo, I would fully understand it because he was just such a deliverer of great laughs, and we knew him enough to like him. He was a very likable person.
Yeah,
incredibly nice.
And I really feel like comedy in a situation where we're having, you know, lots of problems really makes it easier to accept.
Oh, I'd love to hear him now.
Yeah.
I would just love to hear him
now. It helps break down some of the tension to have somebody who looks at it. Neil Giraldo, Matt Benatar's husband.
Are they related?
Greg Giraldo.
Greg, by the way, VH1 has an hour special on his life, is just. You might cry if you watch it. It's cry worthy.
Definitely cry. Yeah.
It's cry worthy.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, you ready to get this roast started?
Hey,
Carl from WATP is coming up. By the way, Carl from Who Are These Podcasts, and we've got clips that he's isolated to, so we're going to learn all about shitty podcasts,
as if we
need to learn more. But these guys are fantastic, and our audience has been piling into their... If you listen to the show, just like I want you to rate our show, rate his show, because they have all these weenies coming in from bad podcasts that they rip. Who'll give them one star?
Yeah.
So it's nice when people do that.
It empowers us, too.
It does, yeah. Like, oh, my God, look at all those people from Drew's show.
It's super influential.
Absolutely. Mm. It's like 25 ratings from our show. Mm, wow. I never say it.
Wow. Yeah. Lisa Lampanelli.
Seriously. Wasn't he fucking hilarious? I love the pink camouflage, Lisa. You're like General Fatten. Holy shit. Look at you, you fat cunt. Who knew Lane Bryant had an army? Lisa actually has a lot in common with that octomom, that woman that gave birth to all those babies. She's never given birth, but she has had 80 fingers inside her at the same time.
Look at the chicks laughing.
Sir, look at this pack of slobs up here. Gary Busey's here, kind of. Hi, Gary. Yeah. Gary, I guess, flew in from Lobotomy Island. Jesus, Gary, you horse-faced lunatic. You look like Nick Nolte fucked the Clydesdale. Your teeth look like a row of urinals. Look at yourself. Every time you talk, I want to piss in your mouth.
Gary Busey left the hardest.
What the hell are you doing here? Holy shit, Warren was great on Dancing with the Stars. He came in second and then celebrated by dragging his partner to the top of the Empire State Building. It's great to see Toby Keith. Toby, I'm glad you could take time out from spitting on Mexicans to be here, Toby. Toby, you put the big in bigot. I loved your last song, Get Out of My Country, you camel jockey, wetback, faggy, spook Jew. And, Marsha Brady's here, Maureen McCormick, huh? How about that? Holy shit. Marsha Brady, you wrote in your book that you used to trade sex for drugs. Holy shit. As a kid, I used to fantasize about having sex with you. Who knew all I needed was an 8-ball in a bus station bathroom? And speaking of bathroom stalls, where's that redneck fruit Jeff Foxworthy? Jeff, you look like Magnum P.I. with AIDS. My buddy Nick DiPaolo's here. Nick, look at you big hunched over guinea. You're like Fonzie with spina bifida. And Reno Collier, I don't know who or what that is. I don't know. I guess he's part of that next wave of lowbrow dipshits that'll make me want to kill myself. Or maybe he's just here so Lisa Lampanelli wouldn't be the only fat lesbian hack on stage. And now on to Larry, the cable guy. This is exciting. I got to tell you. I've never roasted a fake character before. Maybe next year we can roast SpongeBob SquarePants. Larry's whole act is a sham, like the Bible or the Holocaust. Some people say Larry's only successful because he's pandering to the lowest common denominator and blatantly and non-ironically exploiting people's racist and homophobic tendencies. Don't listen to these people, Larry. They're just bitter and jealous and right. You inbred hillbilly. You've been inside more farm animals than Purina. You're like the Trojan army. You're big, patriotic, and you both came inside a giant horse. You gravy sweating cousin fucker. Larry fucked his first cousin when he was 16 and his last one about an hour ago. He lost 50 pounds on Nutrisystem and another 10 when you shaved your back. How the fuck are you so popular? Jesus fucking Christ. This one finally broke my back. Your fans can't even afford cable. They're not coming because they think you're funny. They've never seen a cable guy. You could have come up with other characters your fans have never seen, like Larry the dentist or Larry the librarian or Larry the high school diploma. Thanks for letting me roast you.
Man.
You make more money than
okay.
I'll make
money. Wow.
Greg Giraldo.
Jesus.
Oh, man. Is that funny? Oh, jeez.
Relentless. Oh, my God.
Jeez. Trudy, you want to take care of that for us, please?
Oh, all right. For
Carl
sure.
Carl from WATP coming up. How's it going over there, Jim?
Over here?
Yeah.
It's a little, I'm a little sweaty, a little nervous.
Are you overwhelmed?
Weird. Oh, he's got a Skype coming up, too.
I know.
Yeah.
That's why he's around the board. I didn't want to deal with that.
Oh, my God. All the stuff Brandon was telling me I have to do, and I was like, oh, God.
Just remember, Brandon is an over-preparer. Right?
Yeah, I know, but I'm an under-preparer, so I really needed some of that.
I got to tell you.
Brandon doesn't over-prepare?
No, Brandon does over-prepare. Okay. So it's I was sitting here joyously watching Brandon over-explain things and Jim not listening very much.
I think that's one of Brandon's best traits.
Incredible. Yeah.
Is no, he's neurotic. Yeah, and he's neurotic. He really prepares for Eli and Denny and Bob Page because Bob Page yells.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you need to yell at him more.
So, it's a good idea. Well, he prepares. You know, he's very prepared.
He's very, very really prepared. Good.
In fact, I was listening to the show yesterday, and in spite of the burps, which, I mean, I just want to, I swear, if there's someone near me that I don't like when I hear a burp from a drop,
mm-hmm.
I might strangle them. I mean, if there's someone right there that I don't like.
Whoa.
It was a bad drop is what it was.
I hate fucking burps. I remember when Karts used to, you remember a Karts burp?
Yeah.
Because somebody recorded them too close to the beginning, and so when it recycles, it gets to the beginning and goes, bloop. You know, if it was Hey, you'd go, hey. You know, you get that.
Yeah.
And you'd be in the middle of a conversation and lose your train of thought. And I saw a guy once in a morning show years ago, and a cart burped, and he completely lost his place. And he was explaining what had happened to him. You know, oh, the cart burped, and here's all. Anyway, he pulled it out and threw it at the window. And the cart went in a million pieces. There was a big crack in the window, too.
Oh.
That's kind of a good score, although
I was outraged.
He felt a lot better, though.
That was the other reason I was nervous. I was like, after yesterday's show, I'm going to have to do this. Yeah.
Yeah,
he
I was just
very fearful of you.
The belches. But the belches wouldn't be your fault.
No, I know, but I'm close to you, too. I'd be the one getting strangled.
Well, I said if it was somebody I generally didn't like, and they happened to be close to me.
That's a good excuse, then.
You know what, though? You can't throw carts anymore because they don't exist. But that was a good thing to wing at somebody.
Yeah,
well, they're fun to throw. You've threw carts before.
I've seen carts thrown.
Well, if you want to tighten up your end, because tight ends are sort of going on right now, what with the big game coming on Sunday. I have to call it the big game because I'm conditioned
the
Super Bowl.
Along with the motherfucking Super Bowl.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I thought it was in Greg's copy, but it's not.
But Dr. Roche wants to tighten up everybody's end. Well, both ends, actually. Tighten up your face with tight face, and you can tighten up your breasts and also legs and back. All those procedures right now are 10% off at Dr. Roche's office. 10% off all surgical procedures during the month of January. We have one day left. But I'm sure if you call tomorrow for a consultation, they'll work something out. They also have $3,500 saline breast implant and three treatments of BBL with three treatments of photorevelation for just $1,000. And that's an important thing to get right now because you're out of the sunlight quite a bit. And that means they can go in and get your face smooth and ready for spring and summer or your break. And Diva, of course, always Diva. Amazing three treatments, regularly $4,500, now $3,500, and the free G-Shot on top of it all. All these things to make you look hotter and better and tighten up your bod in time for
spring. Let me touch your body and show you the problem.
Yeah, just call them at 248-338-1110 for a consultation or go to drroche.com to look at all of the before and after, which are pretty amazing.
There you go. Yeah. Hey, I said yesterday that death is good for the show, and I don't feel good about this, but it really is. Today we're number 97.
Really?
Kobe!
Yeah!
Can someone else die?
Yeah, we need another death before the
I know. I really... This has been a weird week. Really? Hasn't this been a really weird week?
It's been
a...
yeah, I mean, the Kobe stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading...
Kobe!
I was reading Twitter responses last night, and, I mean, there's some really thoughtful... People are really confused by this, and it's equal between people who feel like, fuck him, he raped a girl, he just throws a ball around, he didn't cure cancer, versus people who are, you know, were just a huge fan, and they're really sad, and it's this young guy taken away in the prime of his life, and his daughter, too. And actually, when I read one of those responses last night, I thought about Walter Payton.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, that was, and he was my favorite player. And he died. he had a press conference.
He's no longer with us.
He died.
Walter, who I really thought was a good guy, too.
Sure.
I mean, he wasn't perfect. He had a second family, apparently.
That's crazy.
Hey,
a little wrinkle in his love life. But Walter's son was going to Miami, and he had a press conference to announce it, and Walter was there, and Walter had lost a lot of weight, and he didn't know that he looked so thin. Mm-hmm. He had that bile that it was a duct, I think, into his
surgery.
It was hopeless. It was absolutely hopeless.
And he had AIDS.
So after that press conference on the news in Chicago that night, and this ended up getting picked up everywhere, you know, there were a lot of people were saying stuff like, yeah, Walter really, you know.
Looks like you're keeping your bod pretty tight.
Nobody wanted to say anything, but they couldn't help it because everybody was talking about it. And then he died, I think it was about 6 weeks later
fast.
Or something.
Just like he ran.
Yeah.
Very fast.
And he
man, you're looking good. You've been working out?
I mean, was there a more chiseled guy than Walter Payton? He was strong.
No. Yeah.
And he was just.
It's weird seeing, like, when they did the best players of all time and they showed Earl Campbell. Like, I loved Earl Campbell. He was so much fun to watch. And the guy can't walk now.
I know. That was sad. Knees. That was sad.
Yeah, no.
It's like when we had Tony Dorsett in studio and he's walking down the hall. I'm like, I could tackle Tony Dorsett right now. I kind of want to. But then I know if I try to tackle him, he'd probably just stiff arm me off.
You know, he's one of those guys. Honestly, I didn't think he'd be a real nice guy. I don't know
Dorsett?
Why I thought that, because he just was kind of shy, maybe. He didn't talk a lot when he played, did he?
No.
He was really nice.
Very cool.
Super
guy.
Cool.
And now doesn't he have a really bad disease?
Oh, don't tell me this.
Dorsett does?
I think that came out
a while. Is he
going
to keep us in the top 100?
Maybe. if we're lucky.
Kobe.
We need to find that interview and post it quick.
We need to get a minute. I was just about to say something terrible.
Let's look up Tony Dorsett and see if we can call him real quick.
Wow. I want to feel this guy's muscles.
By the way, we need to get him in a chopper.
On Facebook, somehow I stumbled into...
to Calabasas.
I stumbled into a lot of people with pictures with Kobe, which is like, oh, it's all about you.
Wait.
You spent 5 seconds with Kobe.
Did you hear the story of the kid?
Oh, I was just about to print that out.
Who saw Kobe the day before and wanted to get a picture with him at the academy?
No.
And Kobe said, I'll get you tomorrow.
Oh my God. Well, you blow off little kids. That's bad karma.
You never know. You
I'm kidding.
It's a story that doesn't make Kobe sound awesome, right?
Yeah, I'm surprised. Well,
except he was on his way to hang out with his daughters. So.
Why are people allowed to tell that story? It seems to me that should be vetted and removed.
Kobe had an excuse. He said he was bummed out because they just lost.
So other Kobe news right now, he's going to be honored at the All-Star Game, of course, the NBA All-Star Game coming up.
Obviously.
And the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Why is he going to be honored at the Super Bowl?
Because it's, you know, the next big event.
Roger Goodell announced that during
the press. When you say honored, is this something that's going to take 10 minutes, or is it going
to... It'll probably be a moment of silence for Black Mamba.
It's pretty rude of me. I was thinking,
Kobe!
I didn't want a big production. I mean, the Super Bowl's long enough.
Yeah.
But yeah,
they'll run Doritos commercials over that part. It'll just be happening in the stadium, don't you think? Or will it cut into J-Lo's time?
It'll be sponsored
by Nike.
It's the Doritos.
It's the Nike Memorial.
Memorial.
I bet you anything Nike does in the
ad. For sure.
And Vanessa will be there waving, and they go, "Hey, I'm in a bag of Tostitos, Vanessa." Oh God, is that terrible?
Jeez. Mark,
and one more piece.
How much money do you want on that?
Well, remember there There was that bet whether or not
Nike?
He would be memorialized during the Super Bowl, and now Goodell just came out and said he will be.
Probably got a lot of money on it.
Yeah, but Nike will have a commercial. How much you want to put?
Easily.
Oh, Nike.
Is that a bet?
I'll have a commercial.
Is that a
absolutely.
Bet thing?
Yes.
Yeah,
they mention the rape in the commercial? That's your bet.
Yeah, that's what the ad will be about.
How much?
You want to get off rape?
Kobe did have his ups and downs during the downs. They show scientists like squeezing, you know, into when they're getting DNA.
Ringing out his shanties.
Oh. Yeah, the underwear.
Kobe!
Yeah,
ABC News, by the way, has suspended correspondent Matt Gutman.
Yeah.
Because he is the one that said that the daughters were with him, the four daughters.
So for how long? Get out of here, Gutman, by the way.
I'd like to know why he thought that. Because I feel like...
You saw it on Twitter.
Trudy.
Probably.
You know, compared to when you got out of journalism school, and I took a lot of journalism classes. It was my minor, but I mean, I understood it, and it was it was one of those things. There are rules. It's so sloppy now. It's unbelievable how sloppy it is.
I can't believe a network correspondent.
To say a superstar basketball player, the most famous basketball player, maybe in the world, that four of his kids died instead of one. That's a huge, huge fuck up.
He said it live on air and then corrected it pretty quick.
Too late.
I guess I was wrong. I mean, it was a simple mistake, and I'm really sorry.
Did he happen to say why he thought all four were dead?
Well, because
he said anything else.
I use a calculator for that.
Because he's suspended, I wonder if he got that information from Twitter and reported it as opposed to a source. If it was a source and he reported it, you know, someone on the ground that was looking at the wreckage or knew the manifest or whatever, then I almost feel like he shouldn't be suspended because he's using a reputable source.
Right.
I bet he saw it on Twitter and then just blurted it out on
for
TV,
something
which is
like
horribly
that,
irresponsible.
You've got to have two sources, and they better be fucking good when you're going to say, you know, three people are dead that aren't dead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You better have talked to some really good sources. I mean, that just that shit just didn't used to happen. It didn't.
Mm-mm. No, you're right. And if it did, you'd feel really shitty about it.
Oh, you'd that'd be pretty much a job ender.
Yeah.
Saying three people are dead that aren't dead,
right,
that would be a huge deal. But I don't want to sound like an old person.
At least he was first.
Hey, boomer.
Yeah, he was the first to it.
Sorry.
So he's got that going for him.
Yeah. Okay, we'll give him that. It's
he
a new
was
year.
The first one to fuck it up, but the first one to say what, because, yeah, that's what he was going
for. He batted 400. He batted 400.
That's pretty good. Give him the Hall of Fame.
It's a new year. It's a new decade, which means it's time for Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and DealsInAD.com Start Something New event. And the Start Something New event, our friends at Zot are leasing new loaded 2020 Ram Bighorn Crew Cab 4x4s as low as $148 a month. Or if you're all about the Jeep wave, stop by Zot and lease a new 2020 Jeep Compass Limited all-wheel drive around $122 a month. If you really want to step it up, get to Zot and lease a new 2020 Jeep Grand Cherokee as low as $229 a month. Plus, Zot is your lease turn-in headquarters. You got some piece of shit you've taken terrible care of, and it's a mess. Jim, you probably have a messy car.
Yeah,
out of the cars I've sold,
I've had a few shit cars.
Yeah, they turn it in with all the crap
in
it?
Yeah, they took it just like that. Yeah, and people did. I was surprised there was some stuff left.
It's a great feeling to dump off a car that's got a bunch of old French fries in it, and and crap that you don't need, and just not worry about it. It's done.
A lot of dog
hair. New
car.
All that stuff. Yeah, they'll take anything. Any make, model, over miles, body damage, payments remaining, any old piece of shit, you can give it to them. They'll give it to the people who are going to be bummed out. You'll never have to face them. No problem at Zot. They'll check you in a new ride for the new year that will have none of that crap in it. Check out the deals and their massive inventory at dealsinad.com.
Drive safely.
You can actually begin to trash the new one.
Yes.
Yeah, once you get in.
Yeah,
get
trash,
start all over.
Trash the crap out of it and then return it in 2 or 3 years and we'll take it back again.
Actual audio of a guy turning in his car to Jim and what Jim said.
It's a good car. You got to get one if you want your car to suck balls.
So you put him in a better car.
Okay, I can't remember if I'm having deja vu or if I'm just spaced out from being sick.
Kobe!
I didn't do the Dr. Yellow commercial, did I?
No. Huh.
Okay.
No, we were talking about those lines. Why.
Oh, that's right. We were talking.
Yeah.
I wasn't doing it.
Well, Dr. Yellow, I've spoken actually to a lot of his clients, including Dave, who was on our show.
Is this just a personal deep dive? Is this related to the commercialism or is
just running into
curiosity?
They're all over the place.
They're just really good stories about their experience with Dr. Yaldo and Dave, the guy who wanted to challenge Eli to a see-off.
Yes.
A good Drew and Mike listener. Started wearing glasses pretty early, and then he was one of those sailing type people. He did the port here on the Mackinac, and he said he used to get glasses washed off his face in the process every time.
Boy.
Plus you get water in your face and can't see. So he was glad to go to Dr. Yaldo, scheduled the operation. Had it about a month later, he was able to see the clock, the TV, and things so far away that he really does contend that if he and Eli went for a see-off, he would totally win.
Oh, he's
that.
Downright arrogant about it now.
Yeah, he is.
1-800-398-EYES, 800-398-EYES for Dr. Yaldo, or go to theyaldoeyecenter.com. He's the most experienced eye surgeon in the Midwest, and literally hundreds of people from this show have gone to see Dr. Yaldo.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
what time is Carl? I don't
know.
Carl's at 4.
4, okay, we got time.
Okay.
Or our time. That's not the real time if you're listening.
Just when I finally get comfortable, we'll have to call him and I'll be a nervous wreck again.
I know. It is, that baptism by fire, though, that's the only way.
You're right.
If you're going to help out with Eli and Denny and Bob.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely don't want that to be the first show.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
Hey, did you see the Strokes are getting back together?
The Strokes are?
Yeah, the Strokes
they
haven't been
up.
Together.
I didn't know they broke up.
Well, they didn't, but they've sort of been dormant, and they're actually doing a concert with Bernie.
Oh, that's why.
February.
Wait, yeah. They're doing a show Smile just for Bernie and nothing else?
Him too. All Bernies are invited. Yeah. By Bernie
it's
Sanders.
The Bernie tour.
Yeah, in New Hampshire.
Just one show? That's it?
Yeah, they got to be a campaign. It's like when Bruce Springsteen came to, did he, knew, was it Ann Arbor?
Yeah, Bruce came with a couple places.
Bruce has done a lot of shows. I hate saying this, but if Jack I feel, White. I think just a little less of the Strokes because.
What? Why?
I don't know, because
well,
I love the Strokes, and if they're going to get back together for Bernie Sanders, how about for us, because we rock!
I know.
How many people are sitting there going,
but only just one show? It's going to be a bunch of political hacks to get all the tickets.
Talk of
the rockers!
Kobe! But how many people are sitting around going, who should I vote for? Who should I vote for? What do the Strokes think?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't thought of them in years, and then I was excited because this song, I love this song.
That's Bernie helping them out more than they're helping Bernie out.
Yeah, I got to tell you, they're obviously sincere about it because there's not much glamour in doing a show. They're raising money for him, I assume.
Do you think Bernie can dance to this, like pogo a little bit out there?
No,
with his hair all over.
He's going to walk out on this. Still up.
Bernie's pretty amazing, I got to say. I was looking at the story about the Iowa poll. I can't bring that down, but the Iowa poll today, and Biden led 23, Bernie had 21, Buttigieg had 16, Elizabeth Warren had 15, and they went on to say that Bernie's raised all this money because of that terrible commercial that's being run that's questioning Bernie's health. And I was thinking, wow, that's pretty wild. He raised $1.35 billion. I guess they played it to supporters or something in an effort to raise more money. First of all, he did have a heart attack. He's 78.
Yeah.
That's and there are
crazy Bernie.
Way, way, way worse commercials than that.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, nasty commercials are an old deal, but apparently his fans are they really felt bad about it.
The latest thing I saw, by the way, I heard a commercial for Bloomberg.
Oh, really?
Narrated by Michael Douglas.
What?
Today. Michael Douglas, really?
Michael
Douglas. Is it a PSA about cunnilingus?
That's not good. Damn it. Mm. Yeah, because I'm listening to him. I'm like, is that Michael Douglas? Oh my God, he sounds terrible. Like,
you know,
like he's really feebling out. And at the end, he's like, I'm Michael Douglas and I was bummed out. Bloomberg shook faces with a dog the other day too, which I thought
that was hilarious. Weird. That was really funny.
He's like stuck in his hand.
The dog had its mouth open, so he grabbed the top of the snout and like shook the head. And, like that's how you shake hands.
I hate politics so much that anyone who becomes connected with a politician, I just immediately go, I don't even want to know it. It all is so distasteful for me. And the impeachment, I've been following it kind of in bursts, fits and bursts, because I can't watch it. It just is like over and over and over the same stuff. In fact, the first 3 days, they lost viewers from the soap operas. The networks that normally are running soap operas lost viewers running the impeachment of the President of the United States.
Well, I watched that. It's pretty amazing.
I mean, isn't that incredible?
It's incredible, but it used to be when soap operas were interrupted, even for presidential shootings, people were angry. So.
They did.
It's weird, though. You can get it anywhere. Like, why are 2, 4, and 7? Well, 2 maybe.
I don't know.
Because they don't have national daytime programming.
I don't know why.
NBC's.
I don't know why.
You know, like elite crew has to be there.
Don't we all know that CNN and Fox News and MSNBC are carrying it? Doesn't everyone know that by now? Or anyone who knows anything?
Or something called the internet?
Yeah, I think they just feel that they should. And so they do.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's going to end eventually.
The overall.
There's too much money on the table.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that comes out of the news department or what they do, or they can't run commercials in it, can they?
No, that's what I mean. What if they start doing that? like they do for soccer games, Jim, where they put the ad up on the top.
Yeah. Or like we do for Facebook Live.
Exactly.
I have a hard time believing anybody's heart will be broken if a commercial runs. I mean, I don't know. How would you know where to run it? You could run anywhere and it wouldn't matter, I don't think. But the point I was really wanted to make was that, you know, what really matters is, you know, Is he going to get impeached? Is he not going to get impeached? And who's going to vote to have witnesses from the Republican side? And, you know, are any Democrats going to vote to acquit? And so I've found that there are anywhere from 8 to 9 people who might float either way, which, you know, out of that 100 senators, that's not very many. I mean, it's pretty much party lines. So as you read more about it, you find that the only reason they're switching is because they have an election coming up and they could lose the election if they vote to impeach Trump and he doesn't get impeached.
Yep.
Or vice versa. Yeah. So it has nothing. It's not, I feel so strongly about this, I must. No, it's, no, they've got an election coming up and they're in Trump territory and they're fortunate to be. So
all about them.
Every decision they make.
All about them.
Is about being reelected.
Keeping your job and staying in your job.
What job is that?
To become a lobbyist.
The job of keeping your job.
Yeah, that's really all they do is they just want to get reelected because that's their job.
Did you ever see so much press? Wow.
Speaking of being a lobbyist, I am really, and I know this is probably an okay boomer thing, but when I read about the John Bolton, you know, he's the witness the Democrats think will swing this thing or could swing this thing, and his book. This guy was just in national security. He just was.
Okay, boomer.
And before that, James Comey was just running the FBI. And I didn't know you could just put a book out. I mean, I thought there was a 10-year limit or there was some delay before you were supposed to put a book out. Like, you're supposed to wait a year before lobbying. And, you know, what these guys do is they will leave the administration, they'll wait a year, and next you know, they're lobbying for South Korea or someplace virtually against the United States and our best interests and making lots of money doing it. So, you know, the books, I'm sure they make money, but I thought there was something in place to make sure that people didn't just barf out all this, you know, national security type stuff.
We're looking at money.
Or FBI stuff, but that those days are over. I mean, I'm not harboring any fantasies that the common sense is going to take place here. I'm just saying it still surprises me, just like I was surprised when Trump's conversations with Michael Cohen were being played on TV. I'm like, wait a second. First of all, your lawyer should never be recording you without telling you. And second of all, what? It's on TV now? And you know, it doesn't hurt me personally, but I just thought, that seems weird.
Well, he was allegedly part of the crime.
No, I understand. I understand that. But you're not supposed to be recorded by your lawyer.
Great lawyer.
I mean, I thought that you'd have some confidentiality. If your lawyer breached your confidentiality, I would think that somebody else would at least.
I think the bigger problem is this Lev Parnas that recorded him, you know, at a dinner meeting.
Oh, the whole thing, too, right?
Yes.
Because
at one point, nobody saw the little light on the phone or going, hey, Les, why are you carrying that Lev or whatever? What is Lev short for? Levander. Why is your why is your phone out all the time?
There is no event at which some asshole won't push record. I mean, there's nothing.
You just assume you're always being taped and recorded. Yeah. There's a great Lev Parnas story today because, you know, he turned his phone in.
No,
what else do you think was on his phone?
I want to know what model phone
some,
he had.
Some porn or some nudity. New chicks. There's got to be, right?
iPhone device that Giuliani's sidekick Lev Parnas handed over to House investigators to expose their interactions with Ukraine also contains search information for porn and online hookup sites.
Oh, okay.
The device indicated searches to Pornhub and a site
called...
Hold on a second.
Who did he turn his phone into?
I guess the FBI. Or no, the House.
Okay,
the
so
House.
Why are we being told this?
Because everything leaks. Maybe the report was made public. I don't know.
Trudy?
The people deserve
Does that
to know.
Seem a
Trudy?
Little
Daily no, I, Caller
I'm,
is the one
I'm
that
not surprised
there.
At all. It's not even news to me. I would have assumed it, but doesn't that seem
it
a
is
little,
irrelevant to whatever's being argued on
seems
on
a little invasive, a little loose.
It does.
A little loose. I mean, you'd think the House of Representatives of the United States that if you turned your phone in for an important investigation like impeachment of the president, that maybe they would just look for the things that mattered and they wouldn't go around telling people you're on Pornhub all the time.
Oh, well, they're terrible gossips, you know.
Are they trying to shit on the guy?
Yes.
For sure.
Yeah. Make him less credible.
But when you look at that face, you know anyway. It's more or less an acknowledgement of what you already know.
See the guy with the weird hair?
Yeah.
Yes.
I can't listen to him. I can't pay any attention. I just go, what's going on with his hair? It's like it's going straight. It's going back. There's little rows. Is it a rose? What is it?
If we're lucky,
it's
they'll call
strokes.
They'll call witnesses for the Senate, and he'll show up in a nice wig because he knows he's distracting you.
That would look ridiculous.
Cool. That'd be a good look. So not only Pornhub, but a site called freefuckbuddytonight.com.
What?
Which, come on, I'm going to defend him here.
Who would be his fuck buddy?
I'm going to defend him here and guess that. That was a pop-up from Pornhub.
I was going to check it out, actually.
But he also had backpage.com, which is the one the FBI shut down because of escorts.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's nice.
He wants to.
He
wants to enter the hearings and watch, but he can't because he has an ankle monitor on.
Great.
Whatever.
Have a seat. I've been expecting you.
So I have a question, and I'm going to go back to Kobe for just a second. We got a little more time before Carl from WATP.
Kobe.
I heard the other day. Thank you. I heard the other day. We all listened to it multiple times. The female reporter who said the Los Angeles N-word.
Yeah.
Mm. And she paused, and then she really, mm-hmm. I thought she really ripped it out. Now, Brandon thought she said Nakers. I just did not hear Nakers at all. But anyway, I don't think she did it on purpose. I really don't. And since that happened, I haven't heard a word about it. And I remember when it came up, I said, I have a feeling they're going to let it go. And I don't know why I thought this, but I thought, I don't know, because she's a woman maybe. She's not a white guy, you know, like the guy in Rochester and the guy in St. Louis, that maybe just because she's a female, they'll give her a break. Or I don't know. I don't know why I thought she'd get out of it. And I don't want her to lose her job.
It's a woman talking about sports, too. So that's two reasons why they should just be like, oh, she doesn't.
It's just a weird. It's a strange word to substitute for Lakers.
All right.
Did you hear it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I heard it.
Did you think she said the N-word, Jim?
Yeah. Right away. I was like,
can you play it?
What?
I'm looking for it.
I'm not trying to pound on her, by the way. I think she legitimately made a really crazy mistake. I really believe that.
Yeah.
But I also believe the two guys that said the other thing, I think they did the same thing. It's actually a lesser error than her. Her error was like, oh, man. I mean, if you're going to fire somebody, I haven't even heard the NAACP say a word.
Really?
No. Huh. Has anybody?
No. Well, no.
I mean, it's a big
point.
Nothing. Twitter's angry about it?
Oh, my God, yeah. There's 330 tweets about it in the last hour alone.
Well,
do people want her fired?
Sure. Or they just don't believe that she didn't mean to say it, which I think
is come on. That's silly.
Angeles Makers.
Okay, I think that solves it.
Okay. But I don't know what anybody could have heard, but what I heard... I mean, the pause and the, you know. Mm-hmm.
Was she biding her time just to use the N-word? She was waiting for a famous black person to die.
I never thought that. But I never thought the other two guys were either. But I have not. Did MSNBC apologize?
Well, she did. I don't know if MSNBC did.
Wouldn't you think the network would apologize?
Yes. Which Lakers team he played on.
Yeah, it seems like he was just the kind of athlete, the kind of star that was perfectly cast on the Los Angeles Lakers.
God's sake.
That's so bad.
There's a petition on change.org.
You can sign it, Drew,
if you want.
Oh, good.
No, I don't want to sign it. Sign what's the petition for?
Oh, boy. 191,000 people have signed it.
To get her
fired.
Isn't that all the more reason the NAACP should be saying something? Twitter's mad. Twitter was mad about that other guy in St. Louis. No one knew him. No one would have heard that if Twitter didn't get mad.
Not only that, there were multiple people made the exact same mistake. So, and these poor guys, they're not working. They're done.
People make this mistake all the time, too, right?
I've never heard this one.
I don't think so.
Okay, let me see. I'm going to Google MSNBC apologizes for reporter. I didn't hear. I really have heard very little about it. It's almost like they're trying to just not talk about it.
Just a shallow thought. A serious issue, shallow thought. She has a lot of gum to tooth.
Oh, does she?
Yeah. Wow. Great point.
Look at her. Oof.
Great point.
Wow.
Maybe that's why she flubbed that
word. Maybe
that
is.
Okay.
Teeth got in the way.
I have MSNBC anchor denies using racial slur, apologizes for confusion.
Yeah, it was a flub.
MSNBC anchor, MSNBC, there's nothing about the network apologizing.
Well, they should be fired and removed from all cable systems.
Well, I think it's kind of strange.
Classic girl move.
Oh. Why wouldn't they just apologize? That's, by the way, that is what got the NAACP.
Because maybe because she apologized.
Well, when the anchor did it.
What do you want him to apologize for? Because you don't want him to admit.
Because something was uttered on their airwaves that sounded like a racial slur or something like that. But, you know, in St. Louis, this is why, this is the only reason I bring it up. In St. Louis, the NAACP was all over that TV station saying they need to do some soul searching. And they, because they didn't apologize right away. They apologized 3 hours later. And they felt it was unconscionable that they could just think that was just going to go away. So,
on behalf of all Caucasians, I apologize for the Caucasian race.
What happened to 7 second delay? Couldn't that be used more liberally than
Trudy? I ask this question all the time. It's like I'm sitting there for 20 years hitting
button,
that thing, worrying, and when something escapes, like oh no, and this. Just this laziness on network shows seen by millions of people. I mean, our audience was.
That's what Drew said when he hit the button. Got it, guys.
We had less than a million. We had some. I think at one point we may have had a million people a week.
Yeah.
We're talking about network award shows with, 30 million people?
Yeah.
And, you know, there's Slash using the F word. And
where's the dump button? Where is it?
I don't know. It's just weird. I feel like, were they just picking on radio the whole time? It just, I mean, after the Janet Jackson thing, who really got punished?
Morning radio. Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't get it.
I'm still bitter apologized. About that.
Newsflash. People in Los Angeles hate Christians.
Speaking of Justin, I didn't know Biebs was going on tour. Oh, my God.
He's got a new album. It's great.
Biebs going on tour. Isn't he canceled because of what?
Emotionally abusing Selena Gomez?
Selena Gomez.
That was the Bieber that
will buy tickets
before he found God and now cries all the time. So he's got, that's his.
He might have been crying about his Lyme disease, though. Now we know that.
Oh, that's true.
Okay, go on tour if he has Lyme disease.
It was Lyme just Bieber.
The Lyme disease tour.
Outraged.
I have to stop talking about it because I know I just sound like an old person that doesn't give a shit. But I just can't believe how people just wail and cry at the drop of a hat these days. It's really weird.
It is weird. It's very weird.
Remember when everybody was crying on The Real World and it was like nobody cried on TV? And it was like, how soft are these people?
Okay, boomer.
It's The Real World. It's seven people you don't give a fuck about. What are you crying about?
It's kind of what I like about The Real World. I like to laugh at
I like
them.
The Real World. Yes.
Floribama Shore.
Jim, I've been watching it. It's pretty good.
Did you see the episode where the big guy cried for the first 30 minutes of the episode?
What was he crying about?
It's pretty amazing.
Because he was in a fight with his friend Gus.
Gus wants to fight everyone.
Oh, yeah. And he wanted to fight Jeremiah, and he hurt his shoulder bumping in.
So he's crying because his guy friend?
He was screaming and crying like, I used to love him. Not anymore. And he was crying. Just crying.
You want to go?
Awesome.
Is this something that puts does this put people in the victim position in a way when they cry?
Yes.
Because there's no question that people like the victim position. It's growing on me. If I can get in the victim position, I'll take it any time.
Go ahead and cry.
A friend of mine and I were talking about this.
I'm crying.
A friend of mine, we're talking about this, and it had to do with, okay, there's somebody we used to tease in high school. Not terribly, but my friend was a little more harsh, and he ended up.
What would he say?
Oh, so you're in the clear.
Drew was the one that.
I was a lot more subtle. I don't really remember why we teased this guy. I mean, just no recollection, really, other than, if you saw a picture of him, you'd understand.
Well, let's see what else to say. Can we see a picture of him?
Why are you guys bullying me?
I don't want to do this right now, but anyway, my friend ended up marrying the sister of his wife.
Oh, my God, how awkward.
I know.
Oh, and so they're brothers, family. They got to see each other at Christmas. Yeah.
They're brothers-in-law.
So he must tease him still.
So, he may eventually. But this guy, apparently when my friend moved into the picture, this guy's like, yeah, he's going to be shit in high school or something like that. God. And so he was being a major asshole to my friend. You know, and this is his, 30-year-old.
Oh, how dare he?
I know, how dare he? Just a real fucking dick.
Nice to see you again, Mr. Insult.
And so my friend, actually, people in the family were kind of sympathizing with him, like, oh, Brad's so mean to you. And we were talking about it. It's like, yeah, you became the victim. That was kind of cool. He's like, yeah, I'm starting to soak it up. I mean, it feels pretty good. Everybody feels bad for me. And
Cool.
I know. It was weird the way that operated, though.
I have a heart. Why do you do this? Feelings. I feel that when you do that to me. It's not nice.
And honestly,
don't do it.
What do you want to do, huh?
I was kind of surprised this guy would be bitching about it.
Who's Palillo?
David. He was a mainstream student from special ed in our high school. And I believe he worked in a sheltered workshop for a long time. I know people kept up with him for a while.
Great guy.
Kind of like Hotsy Totsy, the bar that never had more than 17 people in it.
He was something special.
David Puella. And Puella is the guy who also was masturbating when we had to swim nude in gym class.
Oh, that's right, that's right.
And Coach Dink told him to stop, and he didn't want to stop because he felt really good. Coach Dink had to go over and grab his wrist, pull his hand off it.
You gotta knock it down!
And, you know...
Most awkward thing I've ever heard told
and, okay, and I know I've said this before. He was hung. He was huge.
Huge.
Chloe!
Not just like 6.5.
Chloe!
I can see it like it happened 2 minutes ago. I mean, it was that ingrained. It was like, what is going... Is he really doing that? And I don't remember... I think a few guys were snickering, but I think it was really more like just
shock.
Extreme awkwardness.
A handsome man with a beautiful soul and a nicer penis.
Oh, man. Poor Coach Dank.
Dank.
Anyone for penis?
Dank. I touch myself. I masturbate. And I wipe my butt almost every day with these guys.
So that was Paula's claim to fame, I would say. Instead of being called, and they were all sports team managers too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you count the basketballs, and yeah, we still got 15. Yeah.
Yo, everyone jerked off again this weekend, right?
We have audio in that locker room too.
Oh, no
you
way.
In the corner.
He's got the most perfect dick I've ever seen.
If we were in high school now, I think Paula would probably be put in the game to hit a 3-pointer.
Yeah.
Ooh,
I bet.
He would.
You think he'd pull a McElwain and score like 32?
I don't know. I'd be J-Mac. Psyched, though. I liked him. He was a nice guy. I liked him. Okay.
There's like 50 naked schlongs in there.
Did anybody watch the special on the Royals on Fox TV last
No, year? I didn't know there was one.
I think this whole thing, seeing that special and the big, you know,
did you
like
watch it?
Promotional. No, I just saw the. You know, the tease.
Yeah, there was a lot
so much
promotion.
Into the tease with the big crown and that stuff. And I'm like, this is so much them trying to deep six the Andrew stuff and call attention to something else.
Well,
that could be the only reason for it.
I think this is one of those things where America, they're going to conquer America. So... You know, naturally, there's all this interest over here because that's what they want. And they'd be here now, except that Megan doesn't like Trump and she doesn't live here because Trump is president. So, but meanwhile, they're hooking up with the Oprahs. She's got a project with Oprah for Apple TV.
Oh.
And he's going
to watch
that. No one's
going to watch that.
Boring. It's on mental health. I know. Boring.
Oh, my God. It gets worse by the moment.
And he's got, yeah. No, wait. Here's what Oprah
what,
said.
Going to bake, too?
I mean, honestly, I wanted to just barf through this whole thing. I'm amazed I made it through it. Oprah says, I met Megan and she's such a nice young lady. And I said, what's important to you? And she said, climate change and mental health.
Oh,
and
I'm boring.
Like, oh, really? So, you know, her kid, Archie, doesn't matter. She doesn't give a shit about her husband. It's yeah. all about climate change and mental health. That's all she cares about.
That's
one,
Midge.
Two on her list. And by the way, did she really say those two things first?
No,
I don't think
no
so.
No way. No.
I don't even think the conversation happened. I think Oprah made the whole thing up. Anyway, so, and she said, can I help with your special? And I said, yeah, I need someone to help.
As
yeah,
if.
Oprah needed her
that
help.
It really happened that way.
Oprah really needed her help. So she's lining up all these stars, and it's been going on for a while. The Cloonies. She's so close to the Cloonies. And Elton John. They ride around Elton John's private jet. And if they're on their jet, then he plays their carbon footprint. Which is like, what? How
oh, they
bamboozle
it.
Elton John into this?
What does that do? I don't understand the physics of that.
It doesn't do anything true. It doesn't erase the pollution. So anyway, they're essentially what was that burp?
Everyone in the audience is going home with Vagisil wash.
Wow.
What did you start and stop it?
Yeah, I potted it down really fast because you started talking.
Oh, that would have been.
How dare you?
Sorry, Matt. That sounded like a burp.
That drop would have been well worth it, just in your defense.
You are failing us.
Oh, stop.
What is that Vagisil drop from?
I don't know. I thought it was Oprah.
It's from The Talk.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
And that really happened. That's not a joke from SNL or anything. They gave Vagisil. And the crowd. Play it again. I just want to hear the crowd.
Everyone in the audience is going home with Vagisil Wash!
Wow! I'm so excited.
Yay! What is it? Why do people get so apeshit over getting anything free? I mean, don't you know people like that? Anything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we're in radio. We know that.
Oh, do we have?
Did they all use it?
I don't even know what it is.
Vagisil Wash, though.
So
to everyone in that audience. Cheered.
That certainly doesn't make your vagina sound very appealing.
So anyway, they go into this this whole business of, you know, well, how will they attack America? How will they conquer America? And, of course, everyone on the show is going, Mark Cuban says, I think if they play their cards right, they'll be billionaires in the next 20 years. They'll be billionaires within 20 years. If they have something that they want to do, it won't take more than 2 seconds to say yes. Just so stupid. So one of the people that they thought should really offer his opinion on them is Ryan Seacrest.
He's probably trying to sign him up for a reality show.
Of course.
Well, naturally, I'd love to work with the Royals, and they're so beloved and they're so big. I'm like, oh my God! Oh,
America, they knew
if they could only just blow up everyone that was in that special, what a great place the Earth would be. But they can't. So anyway, it got me thinking about, I remember, and I'm sure you guys will remember this, do you remember the last couple that came over to conquer America?
From the UK?
From the UK, with big dreams.
Well, it's Fergie, right?
They're stars on the world stage, but they want to conquer America.
The Beckhams.
The Beckhams.
Oh, really? That's who you're thinking of?
Yeah, absolutely. The Beckhams. Remember?
I don't remember.
Remember Victoria? Okay, the only difference between the Beckhams and Harry and Meghan is the Beckhams had real talent.
Yeah, and money.
She was in a huge band. He was a great, 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 great athlete. She's a half-ass actress, and he's a spoiled brat, spoiled royal with an APW.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no comparison. And Victoria Beckham was calling... You know, this is Victoria Beckham's publicist, and she's going to be down into Bloomingdale's today, to tell the paparazzi.
Uh-huh.
And then she started, do you remember she had a reality show?
I'm just amazed I got the answer right.
Kobe!
it was like, I think it went seven or eight episodes, and then it was, see ya, because nobody watched it, nobody cared.
And that loser was supposed to start a soccer team in Miami, which has been floundering for years. I don't think he's gotten it off the ground yet.
Well, apparently he didn't realize that soccer is... Not so
huge.
Big over here.
It's huge.
But the idea was that he was going to elevate it
and
be a star himself because he's so handsome. Anyway, she started, I know you remember this because I think we looked at it at work one day. Mm. On her reality show, she actually made it appear that when she drove out of her driveway, there were like 50 paparazzi who we know she hired them.
Yeah.
Clearly, they had to be hired by her. And they didn't even act like paparazzi. It was so ridiculous. Well, I'm here to tell you, I don't think that worked out very well.
No.
That didn't work out too
well. That didn't work well.
No. So, Harry and Meghan, I would say for maybe a year and a half, some people will get overly excited and think they're really important or something, but what? They're not royals anymore. That wasn't important anyway.
Yeah. That didn't work out well, didn't it? That didn't work out well at all, did it?
Are we willing, though, as the United States, we don't have any royalty to take them?
They're not royalty.
They're not royalty,
They're
though.
Not royalty. They're not even close.
Secondhand.
And they quit.
Yeah. They're quitters. That's what they should be known for.
Previously owned royalty?
Well,
United States.
Who was it? Edward in 1935. Edward and Wallace Simpson. Yes. He married an American divorcee.
Well, that didn't work out well either, did it?
That didn't work out so well.
that didn't work out well, did it? That didn't work out well at all, did it?
I will renounce my position for the woman I love.
And she was
worth it.
She was,
she was a hag.
She was a hag and a Nazi sympathizer.
Oh, that's right.
Oh,
so was he, though. Remember, he was hanging
about that.
Yeah, he was hanging.
Maybe that's what they got together over. They bonded.
Yeah, they bonded over
their love of Hitler. Meghan made new news today, too, that she is troubled by the embarrassing uncle, Prince Andrew, which I think is a smart move by her.
Can I ask a question? Carl?
Carl?
It's after 4.
Jim?
You want me to call him? Get him on?
Yeah, it's supposed to be 4 o'clock.
Okay.
I didn't know I had
did he text you?
Say something. No, I just realized. I looked at my. I've been watching my clock because I knew he was at 4 o'clock.
Oh.
And I just had a feeling that we were supposed to call him. No big deal.
Good job, Jim.
Yeah.
I said something 5 minutes ago.
Wait,
Mark.
I told you to call him.
So, Carl, what was the latest show that he picked apart?
He did a show about a podcast that teaches people how to tell stories.
God.
That was so stupid. But it's sometimes it's the dumbest podcasts that make the best ones to critique because you can't believe how stupid it is.
Yeah.
And what they're really trying to do is they're trying to make people pay to go to this class on storytelling.
Oh, fuck off.
I know. The commercialization of it is just revolting.
The idea that somebody could pay for that anyway.
Yeah, incredibly stupid. Let me text Carl, just tell him that we're calling.
Carl.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Carl. I'm ready when you are.
Happiness and hilarity. We're going to turn it on for posterity. But we'll also dig deep.
And he had the show about Topher Grace.
I heard that one.
And did you hear the Opie stuff and Stutter John?
I didn't get to Opie, but the slam poetry part of the Topher Grace one was just priceless.
Get further into it, too. It's pretty funny. I have to believe that Carl gets a lot of downloads from critiquing Opie regularly.
Yeah.
Because Opie and Anthony were such a big show.
Uh-huh.
And Stuttering John because he was with Howard Stern.
Right.
Carl!
Carl! Hey!
Oh.
There he is!
Look at this. Finally connecting.
How you doing, man?
Doing awesome. How you doing?
Doing pretty well, actually. I told you we had Nikki Glaser on a little earlier.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love following people who are way funnier than me. It's always a good time. It always works out really well for me.
I was just as excited about this as I was about Nikki for some oddball reason, because I really love bad radio.
Oh, me too.
Trudy, you like bad radio, don't you?
I like some bad radio and might be guilty of actually committing some as well.
Well, it's kind of a hate listen. It
makes us feel better about ourselves.
I mean, yeah.
When I drive through central Michigan, I love going up and down the AM band saying, is there some local yokel? I just want to hear some young person who doesn't know what they're doing. I don't know why. It's probably some horrible flaw in me.
That's getting to be extinct, though. You know?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I know.
It's
too bad.
Carl, are you in your basement with a drop ceiling and paneling in the background?
I am, Trudy. Thank you for noticing. This is my home studio that you're witnessing right now.
Awesome. Basement to basement.
Yes.
Carl, don't you love, I have to say, don't you love drop ceilings? Wasn't that just the greatest idea?
Oh, of course.
And tell me that there's not a stained portion in your drop ceiling.
Right there.
I can see a couple of them.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
I really urge anyone, and I like photographic evidence, if anyone can find me a drop ceiling from the 70s
Spotless.
Or 80s that is not stained,
impossible.
I'll give you a prize. It doesn't exist. I don't have to worry about it. Yeah. Anyway, sorry about that, Carl.
Now Carl's looking all over.
I know, you got me all self-conscious about my ceiling, but yeah, there actually are a lot of stains. Fuck!
Hey, so tell us, I thought when I started listening to WATP that you guys were grizzled radio veterans who've heard tons of shitty radio, and you started hearing... it's a compliment, I guess. And so now you start hearing tons of shitty podcasts, and you're like, let's critique podcasts. There's so many bad ones. Let's see what happens. But actually, WATP was really your entree into this business, right?
That's correct. I went on radio shows a lot because I'm a musician and playing in bands. I would go on the local morning shows, and I was a huge fan of the big national shows. So I was always a big radio fan, but no background in radio whatsoever.
Well, it's come along pretty nicely. How long did it take? Who are these podcasts? Okay, first of all, what led you to do it? Because it seems like a pretty ballsy thing to do. Or did you just think, oh, nobody will ever listen, but let's give it a shot?
It's funny. I have a friend who's a stand-up comedian, and he moved far away across the country. And we decided we wanted to do it was his idea to do a podcast. I came up with the format. I said, well, you know, Opie and Anthony used to do this thing called Jocktober, where they would just rip apart morning shows.
It was very good. I heard it. It was fun. Oh, yeah.
It was my favorite
thing
they ever did.
Yep. It was a great show.
So I thought, why couldn't we do that for podcasts? Because there's so many shitty podcasts out there. There'll be tons of material for it. And I think we were the first ones to kind of go after podcasts because it was such a love fest before that. I was like, oh, you're a podcaster? I am too. I'm like, all right, fuck all you guys. You suck.
I know.
No one wants to listen to it.
What really bothers me, this is what really got me into WATP was seeing all these people, you know, from Dax Shepard, who used to be a friend of ours, and maybe
he's too,
is.
He's too Hollywood.
Over?
Now.
It's over.
He seemed to contact us, but you know, Dax Shepard and Topher Grace and musicians and stars and movie stars and Justin Long and so on and so forth. And it's always, I have a podcast, and no one ever tells you if it's good or if it's bad. It's just assumed that, oh, the star, and he'll talk to stars, and it'll be great. And it kind of bothered me because
I hate that they think they can do it with doing very little work and very little effort. You know, no prep, no.
No, they
just,
do not.
Hey, I'm a famous person. I can talk.
Yeah.
That's why I was so excited that you enjoyed the show, Drew, because you obviously are very good at what you do, and you know that it takes a certain skill. And I would listen to these assholes who are like, well, I'm an actor, so now I'll just have a podcast.
Exactly.
And they're terrible at it.
Yes.
It's not interesting or compelling. They don't move things along very well. They think that it's literally just having a conversation among famous people. Right. That's not a show.
No.
No.
That's not what a show is.
It's not even close. And, you know, I'm trying to think of, you know, Joe Rogan's great. He was he's a celebrity, certainly, before he ever did a podcast. But there are so many people. And I think they get into it because we know about pod fading, where people do six episodes and they're like, I don't think I'm going to do this anymore. And those are people who I think realize, this sucks and nobody's listening. So even though I'm a movie star and I announce I have this big podcast, I'm not going to do it. But I don't know. I mean, pod fading is a huge phenomenon with the bigger names. Do these people like the Justin Long? Do you think they make a lot of money podcasting?
I think they make too much. I think they make way too much money. They launch with seven sponsors.
Yeah,
like,
they do.
Blue Apron's already on this guy's show. He doesn't have a single download yet. What's going on?
That's nauseating too. Was there a podcast that inspired you and said, okay, I can't take any longer. I've got to critique podcasts.
No, there wasn't one specifically, but I think like everybody else, as radio started to dry up and there were no more options, like Anthony getting fired from Opie and Anthony and Howard Stern becoming a terrible, unlistenable show, which I know, Drew, you still listen to.
I do listen to Howard.
As do I.
Yeah.
Okay. We try to keep it going.
You know what, though? I missed the 80s and the 90s, so I don't really know the old Howard very well. Although he accused us of stealing from his show, I really didn't.
Of course. So I think that I was starting to try to explore and find podcasts that could fill the void, and I was just out of luck everywhere I turned to. I'd get recommendations. Carl, you got to try this show. You got to try that show. Why? These shows are terrible. And the biggest problem is a lot of them who have been on for a long time get all of these inside jokes and all of this nonsense going. So you can't join as a listener at any point, even if you wanted to. The one thing we try to do on WTP is make every show its own show. So if you came out and listened to any episode, we tell you what we're doing, why we're doing it. We tell you who the hosts are, why it sucks. We play the clips. I want it to just be a one-off every single time. You listen to some of these podcasts, they're speaking different languages. They're using words you've never heard. Like, okay, I don't know what you guys are talking about. I'm out.
And how long did it take you to grow an audience?
A long time. We were on for a few years with a few listeners and numbers that made me happy enough to keep it going.
I mean, 500, 1,000?
A few hundred listeners, yeah. For a while, we were probably hovering around the 200 to 400 downloads per episode.
Wow, and you hung in there.
Yeah, it was enough that I was like, it's fun. It's a hobby that I do.
Sure.
No Agenda is a podcast I like a lot. They were promoting us a little bit, so that was good. But it wasn't until episode 107 when we did Opie Radio. It was crazy. So I uploaded it on a like Sunday morning. I go to watch a baseball game that afternoon, and somebody had converted it to a YouTube video. The YouTube video gets 100,000 views like that day.
Wow.
Next thing you know, Anthony Cumia is talking about it on his show. Jim and Sam have people calling up on the SiriusXM show talking about it. And it kind of just blew up from there.
You know, what was horrible about the show? Because you do go to Opie. That's a well that you found seems to bear fruit.
Yes. No doubt. Well, Opie keeps putting out these shows, and they keep getting worse and worse. And what I love about his narcissism is that he's trying to convince himself and anyone who's listening that they're on this trajectory. It's getting better. He got fired from Westwood One.
Yeah.
He just lost his co-host. Carl Ruiz passed away, unfortunately. He was great. But we're moving. We got things going. It's like you have nothing going.
Did they explain why Westwood One and him parted ways? Was that explained? I mean, to me, it's obvious. The show sucks.
of course he explained it. And he explained it the exact way that anyone who gets dumped by their girlfriend would explain it. It was a mutual decision. We were going in different directions. I got to do my thing. They got to do their thing. It's like, that doesn't make any sense. You're under contract, getting paid. And have you seen the lineup they have on Westwood One for their podcasts?
I have not.
Check it out. They have huge names on there. They have done a very good job of building up whatever their podcast network is. And it's funny that Opie's the one guy that couldn't hang in that
the radio
because they're
guy.
Trying to get as many shows as possible.
Wow. I got to look at that.
Go, Carl, going back to, you know, these celebrities that launch and they immediately have Blue Apron on there with, I'm sure, a code to sign up. Has anyone inside the industry ever slid you anything going, you wouldn't believe how little signups these people got or this show got little? Do you ever get any kind of inside information from maybe the marketing or the sales angle?
It's funny. Just on this past episode I listened to with Opie, he does a little inside baseball and he talks about
how... Carl, I know what you're going to say. I yes. can't wait to hear it again.
I know you mentioned... I know, it's so funny. So typically you have calls with your sponsors. You know this as on-air yeah. celebrity or on-air
having
talent.
Promo codes, yes. I know that every now and then you get that call that, hey, you know, it was great and they haven't had many signups lately. What's going on? And it's one of those things where either you've exhausted, you know, they want to reach some new bodies. To be honest, no, I don't want to mention names, but yeah, I know what that's all about. But honestly, our promo codes have done really well. We've been very fortunate. We have an extremely loyal audience. And so I think we have a bigger audience than Opie, too, obviously.
Sounds like Opie right
You definitely have a bigger audience than Opie. You definitely do. So, you know, I've been on these calls, too, where they say, hey, make sure you hit this promo code three times. This is our new tagline. Make sure that you work that into the conversation, you know, all these different things. And mm-hmm. they'll critique you on how you've done past reads and stuff.
Oh,
so Opie says, I had a recent call with the guys at Blue Chew, and they said they're 75% happy with how we're doing.
No, it's bombing. It's bombing, and they're going to drop
it. They're pulling the plug. They're 75% happy. And then he starts pleading with his audience. So if like, three or four of you guys could please just go sign up and use my promo code. Okay, this is over. This is not going to work.
You know what's so bad about that? Why doesn't Opie sign up three or four times himself? I mean, honestly, he has the money. It would be worth it. He's made a lot of money. I'm sure he could do it. It just sounded pathetic. And then something very close to my heart you also got into was Opie was – Carl, what does he carry around with him? He does the show in a bar somewhere, right?
What?
Yeah, so he's got a H4N Zoom recorder. I have one myself, and I don't use it for recording podcasts. I use it for recording music, which is what it's built for. Mm. He carries it around in the crowded bars and talks to people, so all you can hear is the background noise, the music that's playing on the jukebox, every random noise, and he pretends that that's fun and cute. It's not.
It's distracting.
It sounds terrible.
I hate it. I hate being live somewhere. I mean, if it's an occasion that's worthy, it's fine. But just, you know, you're going to broadcast there for St. Patrick's Day. That's always hard because the crowd is distracting. And you get confused about entertaining the people there versus people on the radio.
Oh, well, that's the best part, though, Drew, is that Opie and Anthony used to do these live shows from bars. And they're doing their show. They're mic'd up. Everyone in the bar is watching them do their show. They're reacting. It's cool. It's a live audience.
Mm-hmm.
Opie doesn't have a live audience. He's not projecting inside the bar. He's just talking to Vic Henley standing next to him while people are all just around him milling about.
Oh,
so it's not like he's doing a live show. He's just in a public area recording a podcast.
I know. I really, the whole thing makes me sad with him because they did have a great, great show. I mean, that was a killer show. I loved it. And it's like, oh, really? Does he have to do this? Is he doing this because he wants to have a new thing? Why is he doing this? He can't need the money, right?
Oh, Opie needs validation at all times. This is a guy he does not want to drift off into obscurity. Okay. That would be death for him.
Okay, that makes sense.
He goes around, Drew, I don't know if you've heard me talk about this. He's gone up to like cashiers and said, Google my name. You'll see I used to be famous.
Oh.
Oof. It's so pathetic.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's sad. I mean, watching people go, too. That's why we're always so fascinated by those giant falls, and this would be a fall of a different sort. But
speaking of which,
yeah, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead, please. It's your show. I apologize.
It's okay. No, I want you
to do that.
Hold that.
You're
thought.
The guest.
I want it. You pointed out that when Opie started his show last time, he started going, and Brandon's listening, and Mark's listening, and Trudy's listening. He did like shout outs for all the people that were on what, Facebook Live or something.
He's doing YouTube Live now. It used to be Facebook, then it was Instagram, now it's YouTube. Yep.
Well, shout-outs have been a little issue on the show. Mm-hmm. That's very small time, very small time. So my favorite radio bit.
He shouted out to everyone? He had time for that?
A lot of people, yeah.
A lot of people. And you can donate to him. Like, it's a super chat. So you can give him $5, and he gets so excited about it. Billy, $5! Thanks, man! You're like, oh, you need $5? You live in Manhattan.
Oh, my God.
That's a minute's worth of rent for you. $5?
Is that what you were going to mention when I cut you off?
I was going to talk about, speaking of guys who have fallen hard, I was going to talk about Stuttering John.
Oh, yes, yeah. By all means. You know, that'll lead us into a clip, which is a good idea.
So
that's what WATP.
I decided.
Carl does his prep.
Please, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Carl does his prep. He not only does he, you and your partner, and you've had various partners, listen to the show, the same show. They don't talk to each other, but they both pull clips, and so they go in. It's a very well-prepared. Right. I really appreciate the format.
I like the premise.
I like that Trudy will not say she likes our show. She likes the premise.
No, I like the premise of having all these different people have their favorite clip, and so they've got all the different perspectives of why it all sucks.
I've caught Trudy listening to the show.
I have.
Whenever I see a band and I don't like their songs, I'll tell them, I really liked the mix and the tone was phenomenal.
That's not what I'm saying. And I love your band, too.
I get it. So
sure.
I thought, so Drew and I have been pen pals for the last month or so.
Uh-huh.
And we're finally getting to chat, which is exciting. But I thought we could also maybe have Drew audition to be a guest co-host on WATP.
Oh, I would love to be a guest host. Absolutely.
Well, this is an audition. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Okay.
So I thought we could start off by playing some clips and figuring out what's going on with our buddy Stuttering John. So I sent you guys over some clips. You have those ready to go?
Yes, we
do. Which one do you want to go with first? In order?
We're going to start with the number one. Okay. And just to set this up for you. So this is the very first time we reviewed Stuttering John a couple of years ago. We just listened to a random episode. He spent over an hour telling Artie Lang, specifically Artie Lang,
who's not
how
in the
talented
room.
He is.
He's not in the room.
Artie's not there. Oh, Artie will never hear this audio. He doesn't care about John. He's got his own fucking problems, obviously. And this is just a quick compilation of John explaining how talented he is, and he goes through the whole list of reasons why he's talented. This is
I know it's hard for some Stern fans to swallow, to think that maybe I do have talent, but I do. I'm sorry. And then you go, and then I moved on to trumpet, where I became an all-district trumpet player. In second grade, I was playing with the fifth and sixth graders.
Oh, who cares?
I learned how to read music in second grade. You know, and then, I was in chorus in all district. I had a solo every year. You know, and it's just, for him to say something like that. And, I was never a comedian. Well, Artie, I was, I was making comedy films as soon as I got my first Super 8 millimeter camera when I was in freaking fourth grade.
That counts.
And, I wrote my first sketch in junior high in sixth grade. And we got an A on it. It was called The Smothered Brother. I was never an actor. I was the star of the show in the little carrot scene. I know it sounds crazy. Why am I defending myself? But in first grade, and it got aired on public television. They liked it so much, they put it on TV. And I was in first grade, and I knew all the lines. I would give the other actors their lines in case they forgot while we were on stage.
Oh, boy.
He
sounds like he peaked early.
He sounds like every guy you've ever said no to for going out on a date, trying to rationalize why you should turn around and say yes again.
Wow.
First
and
grade.
Never
the
works.
Little carrot seed, yeah.
That's what makes Stuttering John worth listening to, is that he's so upset that he doesn't realize he sounds like he really sounds nuts. Mm-hmm. Like I'm talented. I'm here to tell you, I am talented. Fucking do it.
He's permanently butthurt.
Yeah, oh, he's very butthurt. And honestly, what he should be doing, Carl, in my opinion, he should be thanking his lucky stars for the karma that he happened to have a stutter and he got to do those celebrity interviews with Howard. And then the Tonight Show, who would have thunk it? I mean, they must have just been in disbelief when he reported that he had the Tonight Show announcing job.
It's the Dunning-Kruger effect. Are you familiar with this?
I looked it up when you said it last time.
Yes.
It's thinking that you're smarter than you are, thinking you have more talent than you have, or what is it?
Yes. Yeah, you have an overconfidence in yourself when you're so terrible at something that you have this overconfidence and you look at everyone else. Because John will even say, there's all these haters just like Joe Rogan has haters or anyone else. Like, no, John, the ratio of haters for you is way out of whack. It's not like Joe Rogan.
Upside down.
Who is Dunning and who's Kruger?
Two very confident people.
Are they two radio people I used to work
with? Very confident. They should have a podcast.
Yeah, there's a Wikipedia thing on Dunning. It was really interesting, actually. Where did you come up with the Dunning-Kruger effect?
A listener sent that to me.
He thinks he's smarter than he is.
A listener sent it because they described Carl.
Probably.
Carl, I listened to the Pauly Shore show as well, and that was so incredibly bleak how sad that was.
My God.
Wait, Trudy, were you sad or were you laughing?
I was just I was laughing at the interchange, but I never would have listened to it otherwise. So you've brought something very enlightening to me, but then him and...
He's interviewing Gallagher?
Gallagher, yeah. That was just so awful and sad.
I brought a clip. Let's talk about it.
So did a lot of this this dispute between you and your sibling, did it cause a lot of stress to you or you didn't really care during the time?
You know what?
Go back to that time. I mean, did you lose sleep over it? Were you sad? Did you have a nice relationship with him before? Because obviously now you probably don't talk. When was the last time you talked to him?
That's a different question.
What? He's trying to get a specific answer out of Gallagher. Gallagher will not give him this answer, so he just keeps talking over him in order to try to get him to lead him to this one answer. It's never going to happen.
You know, Carl, he did that the whole show. He couldn't get over the fact that Gallagher doesn't like his relatives. He doesn't need them over the holidays, and he kept trying to want to make him cry or something or make him feel emotional about it. He's like, no, I don't. I'm fine with it. It's totally cool. And he just – Pauly doesn't listen.
So Gallagher had a heart attack, and Gallagher says, well, the reason why I had a heart attack is because I was eating terrible food and I had cholesterol that built up. That's how heart attacks happen. And Pauly Shore says, I think it's because you have a bad relationship with your brother. And like, no, that's not it at all.
Jeez,
couldn't have been more specific of what it was.
Yeah. Yes.
Do we have another? We have another clip from that show.
Yep. Here we go.
So,
but I understand.
But
he did,
but you said, wait. You said you had a heart attack.
He interrupts his guest. This is the Pauly Shore show. He goes, whoa, stop talking. Like, dummy, he's the guest on your show.
Stop, take a breath, go back to that time. Were you sad at the time going, fuck, this is my family, and forget the business, forget all that shit. Let's go back to before you were Gallagher, before you were famous. Go back to your childhood when you used to take care of him as an elder brother, you know, watching Ronnie, you know, in the pool or wherever you guys were, and now it turned into this. So how did you feel, you know, internally? Were you saddened, and do you think it was part of the fact that you had a heart attack?
Oh, my God.
I mean, this is important because there's a lot of people listening to this might be having disputes with their family members that might be having, you know what I mean? So
but
how
you
did
don't
you
wanna,
feel?
I don't believe that... That was stuck in my artery. What was in my artery was cholesterol.
Cholesterol.
I feel like Pauly Shore has been to a psychiatrist, and he feels like that's the way to ask questions. Yeah.
One visit.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And now he has one.
I think wouldn't it have been nice if Gallagher just said, yeah, it was my brother. Okay, let's move on.
Yeah, let's say you got it. Let's move on. What else do you
want to
talk about?
Wow. All right.
I loved it. I've learned a lot about people, the way they project themselves onto whoever they're interviewing is you learn so much about someone just based on the conversation that they're trying to force.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No Pauly question.
Shore obviously has a lot of issues with his family.
You know, I'm fascinated by the fact that we've had Pauly Shore on many times, and he's, you know, I was thinking about this, like, wow, the last time we had him on wasn't that long before this Gallagher interview, and I said yes, so therefore I kind of thought he was a good interview, and he's okay. I mean, everybody knows him, but he comes off as a guest okay, but you put him on the other end, it's like, holy fuck, he's never heard one word I said to him.
No.
He doesn't listen.
Definitely not.
Oh, boy. So what's next?
I would love to talk to you about David Lee Roth because Drew was the one who asked us to review this show, and I'm so glad that he did. I just have two quick clips that I want to play on David Lee Roth. So he has a podcast where it's chaos. There's music playing in the background. He's rambling like a lunatic. You don't know what he's talking about. Another guy who just does not listen. He just loves the sound of his voice.
Carl, what is he doing? I'm trying to figure out what this podcast, because he used to have another podcast. He pod faded. I think he started. I think he started a second one. I think this might be his third podcast. And I heard him doing, I was telling a story or something. It sounded like he was doing character voices. I was really lost.
He's doing the same thing at his Vegas thing, too.
This show is a promotion for his Vegas show, his residency that he's doing there.
Okay, so there's another show.
And what you're going to hear, it's a podcast, but for an hour he just talks about, I'm going to be in Vegas playing music.
It's going to be so good, and right.
So this clip right here, listen to the over-promising for this Vegas show that he's going to do. This is unbelievable.
Everybody looks forward to do the residency because then you can fine-tune the show. Then you can fine-tune the sound. Then you can fine-tune the visual. I'm bringing more than one of everything. I'm going to redo it the way we did it with The Wall. I want to hear the way they do it when they bring the orchestra for Star Wars.
What does that mean?
The Wall?
It's going to be more visually appealing than Pink Floyd's The Wall, which was one of the most amazing feats ever. They only played four shows when they were touring for The Wall, and they lost millions of dollars. They put so much production into it. And it's also going to sound better than the London Symphony Orchestra playing the score to Star Wars. Mm. All right, you got that?
Well, he is a big overseller and overpromiser, and it's strange. He can't just, make a straight point. Well, it always has to go here, 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 here.
Well, that's the promise. Let's hear what the payoff is.
It's time to fly.
Yeah.
That's what you thought.
Hey. Is he? wait.
Yes.
He's singing live over his own backing track?
Yeah. No. Wait, is that the show in Vegas?
So that's the show in Vegas. That band is awesome. Yeah, everyone in the band is hitting all their parts perfectly. That's David E. Roth singing off key and off time in front of them with way up in the mix. It sounds terrible.
Yeah, he's up too high in the mix. And also, have you noticed, because I've seen four songs out there, he always seems to tell, let me hear the background singers or something weird. What is that?
I mean, he's a showman. I like that part of him. I like that he's a showman. Yeah. But it's the only thing that I found was hilarious, because I've seen David Lee Roth live before. I'm a fan.
I didn't know
it was funny that he's overselling it like it's going to be this amazing spectacle. No, it's just him, a 70-year-old man running around and trying to be 22 again, singing Van Halen songs very poorly. That's all it is.
In laced-up tight pants that are too tight over the crotch.
Yeah, it looks
somewhat
like
unbuttoned.
He's got penis cleavage, it looks like, the way it's laced. It's weird.
Drew, did you ever tell Carl, your pen pal Carl, did you ever tell him the story about the David Lee Roth?
Interview? Yeah, I did not. Our interview with him?
No, when you were being asked your opinion.
Yeah, no, that's a great topic because, first of all, David Lee Roth had just been in our studios when the All-Star Game was coming to Detroit, and Howard was leaving for Satellite. So that was, 2005?
I believe so.
Did Howard get there 2006, I think? He just has 14th anniversary there. And we had David Lee Roth in studio, and remember how weird that was?
It was a mess.
And my partner, who has passed away, Mike loves Van Halen. Mike had written down, probably 6 pages of questions. And I probably had 2 pages because I was excited to talk to him, too. I swear to you, I don't know if we asked 5 of the questions because he doesn't answer questions. He really doesn't. He just came in and starts blah, 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 blah. And then he'd play a song and then he would set it up with some other ridiculous rap.
Kind of like a lounge act.
Yes. Yeah. But honestly, I listened back to it, that's okay. That's him. I mean, I didn't have to be in it. I mean, but I wanted to know things, and it was frustrating. So then You know, coming off that, I remember Mike and I were talking about he's got to be the worst listener. Actually, no one in that band listens because we interviewed Eddie Van Halen. Eddie Van Halen's a terrible listener. Horrible. He doesn't answer questions either. Sammy's the best.
Michael Anthony wasn't bad, was he?
Michael Anthony's a good guy. He is. Yeah. But he doesn't matter.
Yeah, you're right.
He's a zero. Eddie taught him every bass line. And
yeah, right.
That sounds like such bullshit. Yeah. But anyway, not long after that, at the All-Star game, a guy from CBS, two guys from CBS were in town, and they wanted to meet with Mike and I and our attorney, Mike Novak, to talk about the station Stern was vacating. And they were interested in us for Cleveland, Chicago, Detroit. Ooh. And we were, and we were in the middle of a deal, so we really didn't have a lot of wiggle room. But anyway, it was an interesting conversation. They really liked the show, and it was cool. And then they start throwing out names of, you know, so what would you think of, you know, and I'm trying to remember who they were talking about. I mean, like, everybody had tried to get the job. Ted Nugent. I think they said Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, what?
I know. It's really weird. And then I said, well, who did you want? Did you have a first choice? And I said, yeah, John Stewart. And I said, what's the problem with John Stewart? Because I figured they could pay him a ton of money. And they said, John Stewart says doing 22 minutes eats up his entire life, and he cannot imagine how anyone does 4 hours a day. And so he's out. And so we got into some other names, and then they said, what do you think of David Lee Roth? And I said, oh, my God, he's the worst listener ever. I said it'd be exciting for a couple days, and then it'll be horrible. And I kept kind of going on with this, and I said, we just had him in, and he doesn't listen. And my attorney was kicking me because he sensed that they liked David Lee Roth. And so I was like, I don't know. But anyway. Then, like, what, a couple weeks later, they announced it was David Lee Roth. Yeah. And it, how long did that last?
Not long.
3 months, I think.
Yeah. It was bad.
Did they?
One ratings book came out. He had tanked, and then they immediately found his replacement. I think Opie and Anthony replaced him and Adam Carolla right after that.
Yeah.
Wow. What happened?
And Rover.
You know, I never.
Rover took the one that they wanted you guys to do.
Yeah. And Rover was on. Here, wasn't he?
Yeah,
Detroit?
Here, Chicago, and Cleveland.
And I think
he moved to Chicago to do that, and now he's back in Cleveland. Yeah.
He does well in Cleveland, I guess. You reviewed Rover, didn't you?
We did, because he also came to Rochester. His two markets right now, I think, are Rochester and Cleveland. Huh. I think he's still here for some reason.
How is that show?
It's terrible. it's weird because it's bad for different reasons than you'd think it would be. You mentioned that you listened to the Man Cow episode that we did.
God, I did. And I'm not a Man Cow fan. Me neither.
I never understood it.
I guess I get why people like what he does, but I just never connected with Man Cow. I never felt like, I like this guy. And I never knew
anything about Man Cow, so I went into that thinking that, oh, this is going to be like a Howard Stern ripoff type of thing. I couldn't believe how bad that was. So then when I went back to listen to Rover, because everyone's yelling over each other, it's all this fake excitement, and everything's crazy. Like, is it? All right, it's 6 a.m. So then I'm listening to Rover, think it's going to be like that. It's the opposite. It's so subdued. They bring on some lunatic chick that they're trying to, like, win a date. And she's talking about how, I had to bring up my boyfriend because he came home and his clothes were all bloody because he was cheating on me. Like, what?
Oh, man.
Who wants to date this girl? This is terrible.
Yeah, I listened to some of that episode. I don't think I finished it, but it seemed to me the pace was real slow.
Yeah.
And I just didn't hear – it just didn't excite me. But I would give it another chance, but you guys do review a lot of radio shows too, which I think is good.
I love radio. I mean, obviously that's where all of this came from. And I try to tell podcasters that a lot of times they think that they're being ironic by breaking all the rules. It's actually just hard to listen to. Well, like, just kind of get some basics going. Don't talk over each other. Have a format, you know, just some easy things that you could be doing to make it a good show.
Carl, have you ever picked a show to review and you listen to it and you're like, I kind of like it?
Yes. Michael Rapaport.
Really?
Holy crap. Really? That guy is so entertaining. Endlessly entertaining.
Huh.
Anybody besides Michael Rapaport? Jay Moore? Don't tell me that's the only show you've ever...
I liked... My Dad Wrote a Porno. We reviewed that one.
Okay.
Had good things to say.
I keep going by that one thinking I might want to listen to it. It's worth a listen.
My wife loves it. It's her favorite show. It's pretty good.
Did you guys do Women, Guys We Fucked?
Yes. Yeah,
and,
we did.
You know, I remember thinking that because I listened to about 20 minutes of that and I had to get out of the car, but you weren't crazy about that show. What was that show about? Because it used to be a top five podcast for months, and now I notice it's past us going the wrong way.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I heard on your show the other day you were saying they must have run out of guys they fucked, and that's exactly what happened. So they had these shows where they could talk about an ex-boyfriend, and they could do like this whole rap that they had. They ran out of that, and now it's just they'll have a guest on, and it's three women just talking about nothing. Ugh. All yeah. on top of each other, and it's unlistenable. But I'm also not the target audience for that. I'm not the demographic. So.
Well, you would think they would need who's the girl, the Houston 500 or the Jasmine 500?
Oh, yeah.
She fucked Jasmine 500 St. guys Clair. In a row. Yeah. I mean, couldn't they have her on?
Yeah, they could get a few shows. Out
at least 500 episodes from that one event.
It's guys they fucked, not guys our guest host fucked. That would be a whole other show.
It seems like that would naturally extrapolate from there, though. You know, you just have.
By the way, speaking of the worst listeners, and I agree with you on David Lee Roth and Eddie Van Halen, but have you guys heard Dan Aykroyd? He did an appearance on Rogan, it was a few months ago now. Mm. Have you heard Dan Aykroyd recently?
No. I have not. I want to listen to it because I love Dan Aykroyd. He blew me off the only time I ever met Dan Aykroyd. I was working at WAAF, where O&A were for a while.
Yeah.
And Dan Aykroyd was opening Hard Rock Cafe or Planet Hollywood? Was that what he was mixed up in? He was mixed up in one of them.
Yeah.
Some great venture.
And they said that you could get interviews. Well, WBCN was really anti-WRIF. There was a big battle, and BCN always won because they had, you know, they had huge ratings. They're probably number one in the market, and we were, you know, we did well with young men, and that's about it. So I went down to my tape recorder.
Aww.
And that machine, yeah, I was so excited. I love the Blues
Just
Brothers.
Like Opie.
Yeah. Right.
Except his sound quality is probably better. And I was like, got completely blown off, and I could see the BCN people were kind of whispering, and I'm like, oh, fuckers, you know. And so he's walking towards the door, and I go, hey, Dan. And he goes, oh, your radio? Hang on just a minute. And he walks out the door. And he gets on a motorcycle, and he starts the motorcycle. I'm like, the fucking guy's leaving. And I walked out there and I said, Dan, can I just get an ID from you? And he goes, have to be another time.
Oh,
and the next morning, dick. I played it and rewound it and played it and rewound it and played it and rewound it. It was the most pathetic thing. He sounded like such a dick. But I was a huge fan. Anyway, is he losing his marbles or just?
Yes, he's lost his mind. And Dan Aykroyd, of course, we all love. He's done a lot of great things. But now he's trying to shill this vodka that he has, this crystal skull vodka.
Yeah, I love that bottle. Yeah. It's great. I don't know what the vodka is any good.
He thinks that the vodka has magical healing powers. He pours it over some rock somewhere, and he won't shut up about it. It was the worst interview I've ever heard.
It's just supposed to get you drunk. Wow. What's the complex part of that?
Is it worth a hate listen?
Yes.
Okay.
It's so worth the hate listen. I put it on when I was going to bed, and it got me so revved up, I missed hours of sleep over it.
Now, I know you get a lot of hate and a lot of feedback from shows you attack. I assume the Morning Toast maybe gave you the most bad feedback?
Yeah, those people do not like criticism. The fans
did you ever hear? Did you ever hear directly from either the two girls, or are they above that fray?
It's funny. The way that we get contacted by podcasters is typically if their show is really small and they get butthurt about it. When you have a big show, you know to ignore us. Yeah. It's the best way to go. Unless you're Stuttering John, that freaking idiot threatened to sue me. It's the reason why I'm still talking about him, because he threatens a lawsuit against me.
For using clips, right?
Talking about him.
For using his sacred clips from his show?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
He thinks he has a copyright claim because I pulled a clip from his show. I was like, no, that's not how that works at all.
You know, I'd love to see if he won that case, how much money a jury would award him. What, $17 maybe?
Well, also, he plays clips of Howard Stern on his show. That's how stupid he is.
Oh, man. Now, that is an entertaining listen. I have to say, Stuttering John, he has so many hang-ups about, you know, I am somebody. I mean, the whole thing is, I am important. I am talented. That the clip we played is not an isolated incident.
It's not. It's almost every episode. Actually, now that you say that, you guys got to play the track 3 from Stuttering John that I gave you.
Got it, yeah.
This is off of the brand new episode. He reads comments on Twitter. and responds to them. Oh, and listen to the claim that he makes on this track.
This is Bill at Billy Mo 12 trying to be funny. Why do you have more episodes than listeners?
Bill. That is funny.
It is funny. It's just ponderous, man. As the great ponderous. Casey Kasem said, it's fucking ponderous. Bill, first of all, this podcast has exceeded over 1 million subscribers in the last 6 months.
What?
Bullshit. Okay?
So shut up.
All right, so downloads, I want to tell you, he was just on Twitter, and he posted new podcast up. This was on January 28th. It has 8 likes. He's claiming to have 1 million. I don't think he knows what subscribers are, first of all. 1 million subscribers?
How long
Definitely
is this,
not.
How long has this podcast been on?
A few years now.
And he does once a week?
He was doing 3 times a week, but now that Royce left, he doesn't know how to record. He records into one channel. It's only in the right ear. So now he's doing once a week if he can figure out once a week.
Carl, I got to tell you, I've heard him do stuff. I mean, he's a veteran of radio and television, and I heard him talking about trying to fix the second channel on the show.
It's kind of fun.
It was a problem he'd had for weeks when I'm doing this.
I kind of like that idea. That's fun.
I thought it was kind of funny, you know, but it wasn't meant to be. It was like,
it wasn't meant to be. You know,
this podcast is my podcast time, so I'm going to fix this while we're doing this, because otherwise I'm doing all my other important shit. He also...
Well, you said it was going on for a while. I mean, if it happened on the air,
weeks.
And then he tries to fix
that. No, if it happened at that moment, I would understand. We would get laughs out of that.
Yes. He could fix it in post if he had to, even Good. If he didn't record it.
He can easily fix it in post. It's in a channel.
It's one channel. Yeah, it's recorded. Yeah.
You had literally 2 clicks of the mouse. Yes, that's it.
You know, right, Jimmy. 2 shows ago, he started off the show, and there was a technical problem, and he paused for a long time. He didn't know what the fuck he was doing. And I was like, why wouldn't you start that over? That sounded so stupid. And then he entered, Carl, he spelled out and entered and typed in his dumbass of the week.
Yep, that was amazing.
That took like 2 minutes for him to do it.
Wait, what is that?
He declared, Kyle, you explain it.
So he's on his phone, and he's going to tell somebody off who tweeted something at him. So he goes, I'll show this guy. I'm gonna make him the dumbass of the week. And then we listen to him in real time try to upload an image and type dumbass of the week into his Twitter, and he writes dumbass of the dumbass because he's talking as he's typing. He's like, no, that's not right. No, hold on.
The funniest part, Carl, and you guys pointed out, was that it took him like a minute to get oven the. He kept going back, I screwed it up. And it's like, what, he can't spell of or the? What's wrong with this guy?
And of course, the irony is not lost on me. He's trying to tell someone else that they're a dumbass. Are we all following this? This is why my show's good, not because of me, because Stuttering John exists in this world, because Opie is out there making a fool of himself on purpose and putting it on the internet. It's amazing.
John is a big, big help. Morning Toast, by the way, I've looked at that show and I've gone, God, I wonder what that is. It's ranked really high. It's ranked ahead of us. You know, I hope they're good. I mean, I like to think that. And then when I heard your clips, I was like, they're really 20-year-olds that like listening to someone who talks a million miles an hour, says like every third word. It was really strange. It was unsettling.
Aren't you fascinated by the one woman who says she's a stand-up
and
does shows? I want to know what that looks like. I went on YouTube and searched for hours. Like, somebody's got to have a cell phone or something. What are her jokes like? Because she's insufferable to listen to on her show.
Oh. I can't even imagine. I can't believe they sell out a room. I mean, that seems impossible to me. And by the way, Stuttering John announced that he's going on tour with Ron Jeremy and somebody else.
Kevin or Brian, the guy from American Idol. Dunkelman.
Oh, Brian Dunkelman. Yeah.
Dunkelman. Oh, my God.
Dunkelman's the funniest.
Yeah, he's the funniest.
I got to look them up. We have to have them on the show.
Yes, please.
Absolutely.
You should have them on the show.
So Carl, you had people on. You guys have a string on Reddit, and they were all in there. Somebody, who's going to go to the Stuttering John stand-up and capture his comedy? Because you guys were complaining that, God damn it, why isn't stand-up on YouTube? It's nowhere. We can't find it. It's got to be the worst stand-up ever. And somebody was on Reddit saying that they were going to make sure somebody saw this show if it ever came near them, because they knew we would all love to hear it.
Oh, Drew, listen to this. So I happen to have a connection with our local comedy club here in Rochester. So we got the go-ahead. They have left a message with the booker. They're trying to get the show brought here to Rochester so we could all enjoy that.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah. Be amazing.
And they announced the tour, but the thing was, call this number to book it. It wasn't dates here.
No, there's no dates. They just said, we're putting together this show. If you want to see it, you got to make it happen. What kind of promotion is that?
Shopping the show?
Has anyone ever done that with a stand-up show? I'm not aware of that.
No.
It just sounds...
Anti-dick.
Yeah.
Kind of.
True.
You can't commit to a bunch.
It sounds so desperate and sad. Oh, my God.
Carl, I noticed one episode is congratulations with Chris D'Elia.
Oh.
And
yeah, Chris D'Elia, thank you.
We interviewed him once, and he was awful. He was terrible. That was at the 105.1 when we had him on. He was just atrocious.
His podcast is terrible.
That's
reviewed it.
How bad is it?
It's shocking. Because Chris D'Elia is a stand-up comedian, yes. And I have a lot of respect for stand-ups. I assume that they know how to do a podcast that's entertaining. A lot of them do. Chris D'Elia would sit there by himself, and it was just random thoughts that came into his head. This is literally a segment from the Chris D'Elia podcast. Oh, dude. Family Guy, dude. Family Guy's the funniest show, dude. It's so funny, dude. Bro. Dude, Family Guy. And that was it. He didn't tell a joke from the show.
Play a clip.
There wasn't like an example. Just like Family Guy's funny, dude. Oh, okay.
Wow.
You had another clip of Bert Kreischer, it was a 2-hour and 47-minute long podcast. And in the middle, his guest, it becomes really weird because his guest tells him, I think for the second time, that, oh, you look like you're on your phone. And he's like, oh, I got to answer this text. And then there's this awkward silence. And then the guest kind of starts filling space like he's just finishing up that text. It was just like, what? I mean, why wouldn't you edit that out if nothing else?
Can we? I know it's you think that Bert would be embarrassed by that, but for some reason,
do you remember that?
He thinks I do remember that because I don't know why Bert Kreischer is famous.
I
know that he's buddies with Joe Rogan and that whole crew and everything. His podcast is unlistenable, and he's so braggadocious about it.
Yes,
I know that he goes around and tells people like, "Oh, I make $30,000 for every ad read that I do," and it's like, God. All right, well, Bert, that's going to dry up pretty soon because people are going to wise up. Don't get too excited about yourself.
You know, that's a whole category, comedian podcasts, and the two guys we just mentioned they're stand-ups, right? Basically,
yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know much. Too. I don't. Oh, are they buddies?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I don't know
much
about their stand-up, and I think I've made it pretty clear that I'm really fussy about having stand-ups on. I mean, we had Nikki on; she's fantastic. I love her. If I'm like going, I don't get it. I generally go, no, I don't want to have that person on. And we were offered Bert, and I saw where his podcast was. And I listened to it, and I was like,
I don't get it.
No, I don't. This guy, our audience will not like this. They'd rather just hear us yapping about nothing.
Now, Jim, Jim, actually, there's one podcast he does that you like, don't you?
He does one with Tom Segura. And I feel like Bert by himself is just all over the map. I don't like him by himself. I don't even like Tom Segura by himself.
Does Bert do one with Bill Burr?
Yes. No. And they've only done 3 episodes. They just dropped a new one.
I hate to say this because I love Bill Burr. That made me think less of Bill Burr.
Yeah, right? I agree.
You know, I didn't get it.
And Bert sounded kind of off with Bill Burr. Like he was trying to fit in. But when he's with Tom Segura, he'll go off on his tangent, and Tom calls him out on everything.
Yeah,
I really like that podcast.
Well, doesn't Bert tell like 14-minute stories?
Oh, yeah.
That are fake?
Gross.
Who cares? Yeah.
Does he make those up?
That's all Bert is stories. And I don't know if you guys know how he became famous, but he was a party animal at his college.
Yeah.
And was featured in some Maxim
Florida
magazine
State,
or something.
I believe.
Yeah.
He talks about it all the time.
Does he admit the stories are fake?
No.
Oh, okay. Because wouldn't that be funny?
You guys were talking about Ari.
Yeah,
because of the tweet that he did and all the stuff all the trouble he's in now for that.
You know, let me address that just for a second, in case anybody missed that. Ari Shaffir put out it was a video. It was a post, maybe on Instagram. It was him saying he's glad Kobe's dead, that he wishes he died 23 years. He died 23 years too late, and he was drafted by Charlotte, and he likes the Charlotte team, and he wouldn't rape that girl if he'd stayed with Charlotte.
Yeah.
And this is a bit he does when people die. It says something horrible about them, the opposite of what everybody else is saying, and I guess his audience thinks it's funny, and it probably is. I don't think it's a bad bit, actually. Uh-huh. But when Kobe Bryant dies and you see the outpouring, I would not. I would have done that. I would have stayed out of that. So anyway, I guess it gets up there, and of course, it gets in the hands of people who are really upset about Kobe Bryant. And the next thing you know, he's king asshole. And I retweeted and I said, "This is what you get when you have free speech and Twitter. Certain people really show their ass." And people are going, "It's a bit, Drew. What's wrong with you?" And I'm like, I don't care if it's a bit. Kobe Bryant dying isn't a bit yet. It's not a bit right now. He and eight people died, and I'm not that sensitive about it. I'm not mad. I don't want to cancel him or anything. I just don't think it's – I think it's dumb. And if it was so funny, by the way, why did he delete it? Why did he take it down if it was so funny? And didn't he we found out that his agent dropped him.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the also, you mentioned that there were death threats coming into the comedy club recently playing.
So many that they actually had to call the police, which great use of police force.
I know.
Address a death threat at a comedy store.
I agree with you that death threats are played out. I hate that thing. Like, oh, I'm getting death threats. Like, we all get death threats.
I know.
Yeah.
Who cares? I'm going to kill you.
Wait, Carl, you get death threats?
Of course I've gotten death threats. Are you kidding me? Oh, we make fun of people every week.
Is that for the show you infamously or famously took down?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wait, that one was a brutal one. They got a whole army of people trying to ruin my life. A show called The Vanished with the host Marissa Jones. They didn't like that we made fun of their show, so they got all of their Twitter and Facebook followers to try to tweet and message my company to get me fired, which was a lot of fun.
Oh, they doxed you?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Yep. Rob Schneider
they
doxed situation.
Me. They created a YouTube video. They pulled clips out of context, they ignited a whole army, a whole job lynch mob to come after me and try to ruin my life, which is, you know, always a good response to satire.
How did your company respond? Were they like, "We got your back," or "You need to take care of this"? Were they, I don't even know what you do, but were they supportive or?
If I worked at a company and I was an employee, I would have lost my job. Fortunately, I'm one of the owners.
Okay.
So my business partner reached out to me and said, they seem pissed, and I took this show off the internet.
Yeah, probably better.
You left it up there for a long time though, didn't you?
I tried. Yep, I left it up there as long as I could. Like, you not know, taking it down, and then eventually I'm like, all right, it's not worth it.
I listened to the host, and I listened to the show because I was just fascinated by this, just like I'm fascinated with the Washington Post reporter who just had to tweet out the Kobe's rape story 30 minutes after he was killed. And when people didn't like it, she had to tell them how wrong they were, and then she refused to take it down when they asked her to, and I was like, how self-righteous can you be? I mean, some of those people weren't abusive people that wanted to kill her. They were just telling her it was fucking bad timing, and she doesn't want to listen to anybody. And then I found out she cancels other people, too. And the vanished host, I thought, wow, she sounds like an empathetic person. And what, she really believes that someone can't critique her? I mean, it seems there are people who believe that you're not allowed to critique a podcast. Are you kidding me?
I wish she'd go missing.
Isn't that strange?
Well, they think that, and it's part of this whole murder porn genre that I'm not into. I don't get it.
I like true crime. I'll be the first to say it.
There's too many of them.
Oh, wait, they're self-righteous about what?
They think that they're a cause for good in this world, but they're just titillated by whatever crime is going on. Yeah. But they act like, we're going to find the missing persons. We're all in this together. It's like, you've never found a single missing person. First of all. And secondly, you're selling security systems. You're talking about a girl that went missing, and then you're like, and if you want to have a security system for your home.
If you don't want to go missing.
Well, right. I honestly have no reason to want to, you know, bring her down or, you know, say that she can't do it. Just true crime is a huge podcasting model, but the idea that you can't critique us, and I know you've had other people whose their fan bases go wild and they respond, and I'm not saying I would respond all that well, but you know, to dox someone,
I think you would.
I probably would. To think that, you know, this person does not deserve the right to make a living for doing this. It's just, well, it's very 2020. I guess we can put it that way.
Yeah.
But that was so. Was that a big deal? I mean, it sounded like your office was disrupted.
Oh yeah, it was a huge deal for me. It's an act of violence to try to take someone's livelihood away from them. Is an act of violence, and the fact that they're all in this together and they think that they're doing the right thing we put out, and it's a Streisand effect too, which is great. Back then, it was before our Opie show, so we didn't have that many listeners. We had maybe 350 people ever hear that show.
Right.
These guys made a big stink about it and thousands of downloads.
Wow.
It's like, well, if you didn't want people to hear this, you probably shouldn't have been bitching about it so much on the internet, because yes, now everyone's hearing it.
And a lot of one-star reviews, I'm sure, which I doubt you care about at this
That'll
point.
That'll teach you.
Well, I love one-star reviews. That's my favorite thing. I want to be the king of one-star reviews. It's great. We got like over 600, maybe close to 700 now. It's great.
All 5 stars from our audience. All 5 stars.
I know.
I looked at it.
I want to say thank you so much. You promoted us so much over the last few weeks, and your audience is awesome. They have come in as a force. They're in the subreddit. They're in the Discord. They're giving us great reviews. So thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
What is the awesome. What was the best show, the show that everybody had to listen to?
Like which episode?
Yeah, which episode?
Yeah, there was one you want people to check out first.
Oh, well, there's a couple ones that I really enjoy myself. There's the you mentioned the Pettengill show.
Yes, I love that, because it's about a radio guy who loses his job in New York. Yeah. And this guy has been heard by millions for years. And I, because I didn't know, I never listened to Scott and Todd. This is Scott Shannon and Todd Pettengill, one of the biggest shows. If you look, and I've seen it before, you know, the top morning shows in the country, and, you know, ours would be like maybe 18 or something with, you know, 833,000 people. Theirs is up there with 1.3 million or 1.5 million or 2 million. I mean, it's the biggest show. And I thought, hey, this ought to be a good show. Well, I knew it was a top 40 show, so I knew it'd be different, but I was stunned. Absolutely. I can't, there's no word for how shocked I was at how unprepared he was to podcast, and that he thinks he's still on the radio. And
yes,
the jingles?
His podcast is behind a paywall, and it is the worst thing you've ever heard. The reason why I love that show, though, is because we had Eric Nagel as our guest co-host, and also known as E-Rock. He was the producer for Open Anthony for over 10 years.
Oh, okay.
So you mentioned, I think that would have been one of the first shows you heard of us. You thought we were radio guys. That's why. Eric is a radio guy. He knows all the behind-the-scenes stuff. So it was great to have his perspective on how they were getting these bits and the prep burger and all the things that you have to subscribe to to get these cheesy prank phone calls and jingles and everything else.
Oh, I was amazed listening to the Man Cow one in the did a prank phone call where the guy won free phone sex.
Oh, God. Yeah, that was so stupid.
And the guy's like, what? I'm just coming out of the shower, so okay. It was so, the premise is bad. The execution was terrible. And then I think, Carl, you pointed out that they inserted things to make it sound like it was their bit, which is just, I don't know, it's just weak.
And Todd had a prank call on that podcast, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, he's got the phone scams that he does.
Those are heard in 100 markets or so, or maybe 200 markets. They give you the connecting pieces and you fill them in.
Yes. So you get the reactions from the other side, and then you do your crazy voice. Hey, I'm calling up because I'm your Santa Claus, and I can't make it today. I'm sick.
Oh.
Whatever shit he was doing.
I'm so disillusioned to hear that. Not that I ever thought that, you know, there wasn't anything going on behind the scenes that was, you know, just for entertainment. But that is so fucking lame. It just... And what's Prep Burger, by the way? Now you really got me.
I know that one.
Oh, yeah. You're not familiar with that? That's like one of those services you can. So for whatever the fee is, they give you bits that you can play on your show, and you can pretend that they're your bits. What's the one where they win War of the Roses?
War of the Roses.
Familiar with that bit?
Yeah, that bit is also fake. A lot of people run the same couple and just talk into it like they're really talking to the people.
Yeah.
Yep. It's totally fake.
The other one local here, the Deal Breakers, which is just atrociously bad.
Wow.
Yeah.
I got to get around. I got to get out more.
Maybe not.
If you like bad radio.
Yeah, I kind of do. Okay, what? We have more clips?
I think the other ones were the Stuttering John ones.
I'll tell you, there's one other Stuttering John one that I think would be fun to play. Because one of the things that we do on our show is we put some production into things.
Yes.
I enjoy
Why am I not in the intro, Carl?
What's that?
Everybody gets in the intro when they talk about you. I'm not in your intro yet.
Yeah, that means he has to redo it.
We got to get you in the intro. Say something nice about me, for Christ's sake. When's that going to happen? So this is Stuttering John talking about how great he was and directing it at Artie Lang. Like, oh, I was playing trumpet in second grade, blah. So I put together how Artie Lang and Robin Quivers would have responded had they been listening to Stuttering John's audio. That's number two.
Why am I defending myself? But in first grade, and it got aired on public television. They liked it so much. They put it on TV.
He would still be laughing at that.
You know, yes,
it would never end.
He's yelling at Artie throughout the thing, and I was like, is Artie, I mean, how
his anger problem?
What is this? And then he keeps calling, he was yelling at Howard one show, like, the big stalker, the big dumb stalker, whatever he calls him. And it's, oh my God, it's like, talk about radio for one.
Wow. Yeah.
Two more clips that we haven't played, both from Stuttering John. One is about when Royce's job, you said that was his co-host, that love producer co-host that left, that kept him in totally confused.
In the beginning of January, he starts off, now he doesn't know how to produce his own shows. This is only in the right channel, as we talked about. He says he's running a contest to win the co-hosting job that is now vacant because Royce left.
Oh, please tell me he says how much it pays.
I wish.
I will introduce.
I have another clip that's a payoff after this.
Okay, here we go.
And then I will introduce this new segment called Win Royce's Job. That's right. Royce has stepped down to be my co-host. So if you're a technically savvy person with good rapport with moi and feel that you could take on the co-hosting responsibilities for at least once a week, then please let me know, because then you could be my co-host and we could get this thing going in a professional fashion.
Oh, wow.
That's kind of sad.
Oh, yes.
Kind of makes me want to cry.
Oh, boy.
He acts like, A, this is a game, and that, B, being his co-host is a prize that you would win at a game. Wrong on both fronts.
Carl.
What do you mean win Royce's job? Like, what are the rules to this?
So did he find a co-host?
All right. So this is the grape. So that was beginning of January. This is the most recent episode. Somebody asks him if he's found a co-host yet, and he responds.
Dude is saying, do I still want a co-host? Yes.
In both channels.
I do want a co-host. I like to find the right one. I have some people in mind. I would love it if my good friend Jillian Barbary would be my co-host. She also had mentioned that she talked to Kobe and Vanessa at Khloe Kardashian's wedding when she married Lamar Odom, and you know, and they came up to her, and you know, I guess they were fans and everything, and it was really.
What?
I mean, that's so cool. I mean, Kobe just seemed like such a cool guy. But anyway, Jillian Barbary would be, I mean, that's who I told this celebrity who I would love to have as my co-host. I think her and I would get along splendidly. We could bounce off each other.
She's out of your league in every single way. There's no way that's happening.
Oh, my God. Can someone please get a hold of her and play that for her and get a response?
Yes. If you guys could make that happen, that'd be amazing. I want to point something out real quick, Drew.
Sure.
What I love about that is he's putting himself out there when he says, I have this contest. You can win this prize. And I know, and I'm sure you've done this too, where sometimes you put something out to the listeners, and if you get no response, it's super embarrassing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So you're apprehensive about doing it in the first place. I did one with a Stuttering John parody song. I said, everyone, write your parody song, send them to me. And I was very nervous about it. Thankfully, we got enough that I could have a segment and play them. John puts it out there like, hey, we're going to do this contest. Doesn't get a single person interested in it. Oh. And now he's begging a celebrity to do
it. That's because Jillian didn't enter. She has to enter the contest.
Was that post-Kobe death, that clip?
Yeah, it had to be.
Yes.
So he is, in a weird way, he's connecting himself to Kobe a little bit there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was out of nowhere. It didn't make any sense.
No, Wow, Jillian Barbary? Isn't she on national television?
I don't know what she's done lately. I haven't thought about her in years.
I guarantee
you. Did somebody just break up with her? Maybe that's what he thinks he can...
Like, that's why he can take her? Yeah. She just got fired?
Or something.
Does John have advertisers?
He does. He does.
Can you tell me who? Because I really want to reevaluate the companies to see if I want to do any business with them.
He has this one company that delivers weed to your house.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of cool.
All right.
That's pretty cool.
Which is amazing. I don't live in California, so I don't know what that's like. That sounds pretty cool.
Oh, he's in California. Okay.
Yeah, he's out in L.A. because he lost his gig on The Tonight Show, but figures that another late night show will be calling him to be the announcer any day now. So he's just got to be ready to go.
You know, he really did make a lot of money on The Tonight Show, I guess, right?
Yeah, he made $500,000 a year.
Wow.
He talks about it all the time. That's why I know that.
Has he blown it yet?
Oh, yeah. It's gone.
Well, he got divorced, didn't he?
He did.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Ooh.
In California. That's I'm significant. Yeah.
So
now, guess what? He has had her on his podcast back in 2016.
Really?
I just see a tweet from him about it. It's gotten 4 likes.
Should we go in and...
4 likes? Any retweets?
Should we go in and listen to just a tiny piece of it?
If I can, yeah. Let me see.
It's got to be... Why would she be on... See, you know, when I heard, oh, God, you played one of my favorite episodes of yours is when who is the big tough guy that John has on YouTube and John's asking him if he makes any money at Sirius?
Oh, Jason Ellis.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It's so funny.
It's all right.
Yo, Jason was great.
John had never heard
of
Jason Ellis before.
Oh, really?
He gets him on there. He's like, so, Jason, what do you got? You got your own show or something, right? Jason's like, yeah, the whole channel.
He's had it for at least a decade. And the funny thing was John said, well, I'd probably be on Sirius, but Howard would block it. And then he says, and you can't make any money anyway. You don't make any money over there, do you? And he goes, yeah, I do pretty well.
John has no clue who he's talking to.
Oh, my God, that was terrible.
Wow. Yeah, you know what? That podcast isn't pulling up. So it looks like he used to be on Podcast One. Is he still part of that network, or is he doing it himself?
He's definitely not part of any network.
So they blew him out.
He was on Podcast
One? That's what it looks like, yeah. That's where that link took me, at least.
Is there, Carl, do you know, is there any advantage to being on Podcast One?
Probably. I bet they line you up with advertisers, if nothing else.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Well, our network is growing one day. I thought we should have WATP on our network, but it's not local, so our
need
local
us.
Advertisers.
I don't think he needs us.
Oh, are you kidding me? I want my bookie.ag. Come on. Help me out. I'd love to talk about some sports gambling.
Absolutely. Boner pills. There's plenty of applications for Carl.
True. Yeah.
So I used to do deepdiscount.com reads, and Deep Discount is a website that sells DVDs and Blu-rays. Which is something nobody needs. And I would try to force this conversation.
It's really
I'd be like, don't you want to own that movie you like? Isn't that important? I couldn't do it.
Is a podcast, a digital platform, the place to sell DVDs?
No.
If you can download a podcast, you're probably streaming movies.
No one else would take their money.
So, Carl, you have a straight job, and then you're on Patreon for WATP, right?
Yes, we do a bonus episode. We just put one out this week. We do a bonus episode every single month that are just for our patrons on Patreon.
How do we find you? How do we find you on Patreon, Twitter, all that stuff?
Yeah, go to whoarethese.com and you will find links to all of our things, merchandise, Patreon, the subreddit, all that stuff.
How do you do with merchandise?
Well, we do all right. I use this thing called Teespring, so it's print to order.
Oh, okay.
Well, so like it's not like I have a ton of inventory that I'm trying to push or anything like that.
Well, we can see your basement, and there's not a bunch of boxes in there.
From that angle.
You can't see the whole thing.
Yeah, the other side of the camera, there's just boxes stacked.
How about Patreon? Do a lot of people get on Patreon for you?
See the ceiling.
Oh, there we go. We see the rest of his basement.
All right. Yeah.
This is exciting.
A Cubs banner, Drew.
Trying to see the ceiling, too.
There's a flat screen.
Oh, boner time for Drew.
Huge Cubs fan, Bill. Nice. Drew.
Yep. From way back. Yep. First, one of the last times I cried was 69 when they blew it.
Oh, was that when you cried?
I did cry. I did. I've been making fun of people crying about Kobe Bryant that barely knew him, but I'm not really. I get it.
I don't think Carl's ever heard your message, though, from back in...
2005?
Is that when that was?
I think so. 2003, when the Cubs were winning.
Set it up for him while I look for it.
Okay.
I don't know if I can find
the
it.
The Cubs were beating Florida?
Yeah, it was Florida.
Yeah, Florida. 3-1 3-1 in the seventh.
Mark Pryor. You had Kerry Wood on the mound.
Yep. And that the whole thing blew apart because of Steve Bartman, of course. It's all his fault. And,
it's not Steve Bartman's fault. But yeah,
Carl, this is one batter, I believe, before Bartman, and you're calling, Drew's calling Doug, who was our program director at the time.
Hey, Doug, it's Drew. Just wanted to lay this down in message form, requesting a day off next Friday, as I am going to the World Series Thursday night.
Why am I talking like that?
Well, the Cubs are 5 outs away. I shouldn't speak so soon. Well, I've got a ticket to the Thursday night Cubs World Series game. This is next week. So anyway, just wanted to drop that in ASAP. I'm 5 outs too soon. I hope I don't jinx the Cubs. So I'll see you.
So yeah. Drew, I never blamed Bartman for that. I am blaming you. This was your fault.
Poor Bartman. Where's Bartman?
He's hiding. The guy's been amazing.
They gave him a World Series ring, didn't they?
They wanted to bring him into the fold during that World Series run. He's like, no thanks. I don't want to be a part of it. I don't blame him.
Isn't there a possibility that everyone would kiss his ass and feel guilty and he might get laid,
too? You know what he should do? He should do a podcast. He should do a podcast with the guy who was doing the okay sign behind Doug Glanville, because nobody knows where that guy is either. I would listen to that show and so would Carl.
Hey, Carl, it's been great. We got to talk on the phone, and we'll certainly stay in touch, and I will keep listening to Who Are These Podcasts?
Hold on a second, Drew. What? You're coming on as a co-host, man. Yeah. You passed the audition.
Oh, good. Okay. No, I want to come on. I'm absolutely coming on.
You passed the audition.
You passed the audition. You're in.
No one else in this room did, just Drew.
I have to ask, you guys can be down here playing stuff, because I'll need to play my own clips.
Oh, you're not going to Rochester?
No, I don't think I'm going to Rochester.
You want to come into my basement?
One of these days.
Fake.
What is the bonus episode that I'm missing because I'm not on Patreon for you?
So we just did one where Stuttering John watches his wedding video. It's the most pathetic thing you'll ever see hear in your life. It's literally John explaining all the people he used to be friends with who will no longer talk to him.
Oh, yeah. I need to be on Patreon or listen to that episode or both. Oh, thanks, Carl.
Thanks so much for having me on, buddy.
Really good. Appreciate it. Who are these podcasts? Carl, from his basement with a drop ceiling. With
and
maybe
paneling.
Just a stain or two.
Naughty kind in the background.
Thanks, Carl.
Thanks,
bud. That's great. Hey, we're at the 2:39 mark. Long show today.
Wow. Yeah.
Nikki Glaser, Who Are These Podcasts, and a lot of stuff.
They
in
did all the heavy lifting, though. It was easy.
That's true. You can hit the outro, Jim.
Oh, you can find it.
Yeah, no, I can't.
I gotta say, Jimmy did a very fine job today.
Yeah,
this was like
Brandon should be scared.
This Trudy, you sure? Your phone's ringing.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
we forgot Brandon put together a boner line.
Oh, no.
I'm not going to be able to find that. I could play that at the end, right?
I played at the end of the outro.
I don't know why, but he wanted you to hear it live. I seriously
Okay, I'll listen to it. You want to play now?
Yeah.
Do you have a mark? Because I don't remember.
It's the show that wouldn't end.
I do have it somewhere. Give me a second.
The question is, who wants the show to end the most right now? I think it's Joey.
He's like so burnt.
I'm finally feeling comfortable after a little bit.
No, I have a question, and this is show business, so a show meeting question.
Yeah. Bring it.
I was thinking, and it's way too late because of Super Bowl, but I want us to have a Drew and Mike jersey, football jersey.
Okay, we'll have it ready by 2024. At the speed we move.
Okay, can we get that?
You want a merch one?
I just think football jerseys are cool, and someone reminded me of that just recently by wearing one, and it's like, wow, we need a football jersey.
I like football jerseys too. Yeah. I got to think about
hockey sweaters. Well, ML has hockey sweaters.
I know. Oh, yeah. I love that.
I want baseball jerseys.
Baseball jerseys are cool,
baseball
too.
Jersey.
ML's new episode is up, by the way, with Steve Wilson.
Oh, okay.
And a new No Filter today as well.
Oh, and by the way, the Tuesday show when you played the entire battle of ML and Mike Ratti.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit. Yeah. I never heard that entire
audio
before.
Oh, you've never heard that?
No, I only heard the, you know, the piece of garbage and a little bit of it. I'd never heard the entire
one. You
want to
go?
One. Oh, my
God. It's really something.
Yeah.
Okay, the boner line is...
He says it's really good and he wants us to listen to it.
It's 209-66-BONER. And it's brought to you by Lover's Lane. Valentine's Day is coming up. Get your sweetheart in the mood with a gift from Lover's Lane. If we just get a few people over there, we're like 75% there with Lover's Lane. Now, there are three ways to shop for all your bedroom essentials. Loverslane.com, 35 retail locations, and the all-new sexdrive.com for the hottest stuff that even Cupid can't get his hands on. I heard Opie say that, and I hadn't listened. Actually, no, I did hear who these podcasts, and I knew when he was playing, I'm like, oh, my God, they're going to have a field day with this, because nobody says, you're 75% there. They either say, hey, we ain't in any fucking business,
yeah.
Or, hey, things are cool, man. I've never heard that.
Right.
It sounded so pathetic.
Very specific, too.
No.
Wait, and how many did he need? He needed four people to sign up?
Three or four
that?
People? I would have gotten my friends to do it and paid them back.
So wait, does that mean he had 12 people 12, and they right. demanded 16 sign up?
No, Mark,
oh,
you know
yikes.
What? He was probably 10% there, and he said sure,
okay,
75.
Good point, yeah.
The all-new sexdrive.com for the hottest stuff, featuring quality sex toys, vibrators, fun and exciting toys for couples. Sex Drive also has an incredible selection of erotic apparel and naughty gift ideas perfect for Valentine's. Shop early, visit sexdrive.com, powered by Lover's Lane, and here's the boner line.
Yeah, I just want to say, Brandon, you're the best.
Thank you.
God, the production just on the boner line alone is fantastic.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say, Brandon's impersonation of the Generation X is hilarious.
It's funny because it's true.
I'm calling to congratulate Brandon on the Devin Singletary bet.
The best bet anybody ever made.
Just a Brandon, line.
I'm your sensing game a theme. On the drops. You've been so quick and so on point the last couple weeks. On the drops. You're the man. Keep it up.
That's high praise.
You have to have Brandon read more of the comments. The voice he uses is the best. By far the best on the show. Yeah. Brandon, you're hilarious. You're killing it. I love it.
You are so generous. Thank you.
This show is great.
How many friends
I love Brandon. Hey,
Brandon can
Brandon,
do a lot of voices.
You are on your game, man.
This is the end of the boner line.
You are converting my fiance, who is not a fan of the show.
He's killed his own boner line.
Show. You are on point. You are on point always. You are awesome.
What's interesting
Brandon.
Is he must have saved these over a long period of time.
I was wondering the same
love
thing.
The intro. That is fucking great, Brandon. Love you.
I love you.
Brandon.
Love you.
You love me?
Has anybody ever called you Brandon and told you how beautiful you are? I love your Tell drops. Me. Your drops are the best. You're a beautiful boy, Brandon. You keep it up.
And then he started coming on to me.
I just want to say, Brandon, I love your homeless pal story.
I love that story.
Hey, I just wanted to give a shout out to Brandon and all the great work he does on the boner line. The editing he did on my comment the other day, some people are saying that's the best cut they've seen since the one that Drew's Jackson performed. Anyway, Brandon, you're doing awesome.
You're doing awesome!
The production Brandon do is hands down the best. Your production is the best production.
That's just like the coolest thing anyone's ever said to me.
Hey, Brandon. Love your farts.
I'm calling in support of Brandon's farts. I love them. Anybody who doesn't can suck it.
Brandon, keep the farts coming, buddy. Love them. They make me laugh every single time.
Yeah, this one's for Brandon. Just want to say that you're doing a great job.
Thank you for that.
Brandon, you're the greatest.
I agree.
Brandon, you rock, buddy.
Thank you.
Brandon. Love you, dude.
Love you.
Brandon. You're the man.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Boy, it's getting weird.
On and on.
Outro, please.
Brandon, you're doing a terrible job. You're fired.
I almost want to reveal the story he doesn't want us to talk about, right?
By the way, Bob also sent Brandon kudos by way, I think, email saying that
who
he
who sent it?
Bob, our guest yesterday. Oh. That he sat in the fart zone with him and he added some to it. So
cool.
Thanks for the cobbler, Pam. Oh, my God.
Oh, Bob, Bagich, and Pam.
Yeah.
Pam, the cobbler. Trudy,
holy
cobbler.
You came in today. You could have had spaghetti. You could have had salad. You could have had pasta. She went right to the cobbler.
Oh, it was all there?
Yeah.
I only had the pie.
All that. I didn't know there was
still
more
lots
food.
More.
Yeah, there's tons of food, Jim.
Yeah.
And there's plenty for you if you want some. Oh. Great job, by the way.
I'm in. Well, thank you. I feel like that.
It's your first day.
That was probably the trickiest. If there's a tricky show, that was it today.
I'm wearing a sweater under this, and I literally was sweeting. I was like, God, my hands are sweating. Like,
you
I
are
feel
failing
like,
us.
I felt like it was my first day. It was weird.
I'm trying to figure out why I sweat so much today. Was I sweating about you because I was nervous about you?
I'm glad you didn't say anything
sweating?
Before.
No.
Because you would have made me sweat more.
It was actually a pretty good show. I thought it went pretty well.
Yeah, except for that boner line at the end.
Well, that was okay. Brandon got a good laugh out of that.
I know. Oh, then we should tell what. Oh, we already did.
I was going to mention this. This wasn't breaking enough to reach the ABNN status, like emergency broadcast ABN network. But did you see that the NFL said we are going to work with Antonio Brown to help him? And all I could think of was, oh, are you going to get burned?
Come on.
If you think you're going to get into his shit and help him,
doesn't want, yeah, the guy need if he needs to want to accept help. Right. No, he doesn't.
Yeah.
No, he's already off his tether, and he's already acting like everything's great. Meet me at that. Well, you said meet me at the health club. Anyway, we'll talk to you after the Super Bowl. We will have Super Bowl stuff Monday morning.
Kristen, yeah. Motrin in a bag of ice.
Yeah, that didn't work out well, did it? That didn't work out well at all, did it?